600 WSOM.
ABC News, I'm Richard Davies. Ousted and exiled President Viktor Yanukovych of Ukraine is defiant this morning. Holding his first news conference in Russia, he promised to fight for the future of his country against those who he says are using fear and terror. ABC's Terry Moran in Moscow says pro-Russian government has seized two airports and government buildings in eastern Ukraine. It's not known who these people are.
Rumors are flying that they were sent by Russia, but it seems that they are more likely local Russian self-defense brigade. It shows how much of a tinderbox this entire region is.
And it can't be the White House and the U.S. government reacting to the crisis.
The White House Viktor Yanukovych abdicated his responsibility, leaving a void the parliament is already filled. Vice President Biden called the new prime minister of Ukraine last night, pledging the U.S. will give the new government America's full support.
A top Ukrainian security official says two airports in Crimea are under his government's control despite the government's veto. Worries about mudslides and floods in the foothills of Southern California. Second big rainstorm and the conservative
barren and fragile hillsides that burned last month could give way and take out just about anything or anyone in a bad militia. And John Matlow says they want people out.
We're asking for your compliance and honor.
But not everybody is agreeing to go. Some homeowners are staying. Leave their neighborhood. Alex Jones, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Commerce Department reporting slower growth in the U.S. economy in the last quarter of last year.
I was expecting
the 42nd annual Iditarod Sled Dog race gets underway this weekend in Anchorage. The last of long race, 1,100 miles, going all the way to Nome. This is ABC News.
How to get an amazing deal on a great used car. Start with the most durable, longest-lasting brand in its class. Have it thoroughly inspected by a trained technician and reconditioned to a Honda-certified standard. You got yourself a certified pre-owned Honda. Find the one that's right for you at HondaCertified.com. Durability based on longevity. Longevity based on both U.S. vehicles and operation and registration. Specifics 1988, 2012 for Honda and competing brands.
I'm standing on a lifetime in Blue Ridge Mountains. Bringing in the spring, dazzling colors to the fall. Part of my career. I am 1 mile of the SX Trail. There are 21,000 more like me. Together, they help train for the team nearly 450 miles of one trail. Tomorrow, I'll be starting. Yes, how tomorrow will
Liberation is resuming today. The trial of Terry Kennedy, daughter of Robert F. Kennedy, is on trial for drugs, private.
Not only is there reasonable doubt, Terry Kennedy's defense attorney said, there's overwhelming doubt about her guilt. He said there's no evidence she realized she accidentally took Ambien instead of her thyroid medication until after her SUV hit a tractor trailer. Prosecutors contend she should have been aware she was feeling the drug effects that she had for this year back in July 2012. Prosecutors said Kennedy mounted such a vigorous defense to protect the public image. Kennedy said, I believe prosecutors are really so hard to see because of who she is. Aaron Kipperski, ABC News, New York.
I'm Richard Davies.
In a very wrong world, helping me.
Their name is Safe Auto for a reason. Safe because it's smart to have car insurance and auto because that's all we do. The right car insurance for the right price right now. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Call quick and enjoy the road ahead.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, just in time for the auto show. Now is the best time to drive a Ford, especially the 2014 F-150. Built with the power to get the job done and the fuel economy that can't be beat. Online at drive1ohio.com.
We made
I'm not sure.
Calgary every Saturday at 11 a.m. on News Talk 690 WSOM.
Catch Dennis Miller, noon to 3, weekdays, right here on News Talk AM 600 WSOM.
Without ongoing management, gout may prevent you from enjoying life's simple pleasures. Learn more about managing this chronic illness at www.goutliving.org. This message brought to you by the Explorer.
4 hours of the best music in the world. Tune in Sundays from 1 till 4 p.m. for the Happy Polka Land Show. Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Notice something, man?
Hey, I'm where's the happy music, Jeff?
We didn't have no happy music today.
You got to start with the happy
Listen,
music.
Listen, man, we don't have to start with happy because our happy girl ain't here.
It gets my toes a-tapping. There we go.
If you feel like happiness is in you, come along if you feel like what you want to do.
I've heard this song on 4 or 5 different things.
Oh, yeah.
They use it all the time. It's a great tune.
Every commercial in the world has it now. Y'all happy out there? You're listening in the morning with Tracy and Friends, and me and Mark in here just as happy. We did not say gay, so don't go there. Don't go there, okay?
I think Tracy's listening. You think she drives when you know she's up here.
Yeah, no.
I try to drive, but this fat white guy, he don't drive too good.
I've been getting a lot of friends lately, probably because all the stuff that's going on. I got a lot of flack on the African American initiative by the president yesterday.
Would you explain to me what that is? I kind of watched it, but you know, I had a bad day yesterday, so the world could have ended. I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't. Well, here, check this out. It's the first thing that he's ever done directly for African-American people.
I kind of thought about that when I just saw the TV was down when I saw the stuff going on the screen.
Well, he had to do it. He didn't have any other choice to do it. And you know, the thing is what he did was he wants to win the midterm elections for the Democrats or else he's toast. Because he's getting legal challenges up the yin-yang, and I don't think he's been able to stack the district court enough yet to have everything
but
overturned.
He's trying.
Oh,
he's trying.
He's a valiant effort because he has more people on that court than have ever sat on it before.
Yeah.
And see,
did Roosevelt do that?
Yes.
He tried
to
stack the Supreme Court.
He tried to stack the Supreme Court.
Then they shoved it up as Roosevelt.
Then they sort of they sure did. They what was the first name?
Franklin.
They Franklined him. So they did this. So he does this initiative, which is right because I said I told the conservatives don't call this racist because this is not racist. This has to do with one thing: black children. By design of the progressives, are absolutely the most endangered species in America. And I said we deserve a better program than the whales or the polar bears or Nancy Pelosi's fish that's keeping irrigation water away from Northern California's vineyards. she's killing the people out there with her stupidity. And, you know, and she's so saying, so many different things. But now that they've gotten global warming rain in California, and we're freezing our tutukas is off over here.
It's really cold
it's
in Northeast
cold
Ohio.
In Northeast Ohio. Nothing happening. God is laughing at the global warming people. I can see God falling back on the throne.
Noah.
Yeah.
Build an ark.
What? Who said that?
It's the Lord.
The Lord.
We got to do that.
Yeah, right.
We got to get some routine shot, Jeff. That'd be fun.
Yeah, right. I loved Bill Cosby on Noah.
I can't get my voice that low.
Noah. Noah. And he's on his target. For Wuba. For Wuba. Oh, I love it. I love
what's
it.
What's a cubit?
Yeah. I want you to beat it. Make it 30 cubits by 80 cubits by 120 cubits. Right.
Right.
What's a cubit?
Cubit?
Oh, man. We having fun all by ourselves, Mark. Mornings with Tracy and Friends. The number here is 330-781-9600, local. If you'd like to talk about something local, we'll entertain you for a little while today. And on our national...
Like our lawyers that keep going to jail.
Oh, yeah.
That's great for me.
Yeah.
That guy's going to spin out the competition. Every now and then we have to send them to jail.
We have more lawyers per capita in Mahoning County than any place else in the country. Okay, even California.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're doing good, man. You know, Mark.
Keep going, man. I'm going to get some more.
Yeah.
Get some more.
I think a few more are going down before it's all over.
Maybe I'm
going
to pay my bar dues after all this year. I got two notices from the state and the county bar. Jeff Knight knows me from outside the studio, and
mm-hmm.
you know I'm a lawyer, but I mostly do other stuff, and
right.
and that has nothing at all to do with law. And I debated this year whether I really want to pay my bar dues this year because, for all intents and purposes, you know,
you're not doing that much.
I'm not doing that much, and you know, and it's not cheap. But if they could throw these guys in jail, you know.
Hey man, I think you can mark it. I can, you know, I'm not indicted, so I'm invited.
You know, all lawyers are scummy, and I include myself in that. And
oh.
you know, because you know, we there's a line, and we try not to cross the line. And sometimes I think I did stuff that wasn't so hot. Now look at what these guys do, and I said, at least I didn't do that.
Yeah, there you go. What's the joke about the dead lawyer in the middle of the road and the dead snake? What's the difference?
What's the difference?
Skid marks in front of the snake. At least they tried to stop the snake. I can say that. I was raised by a lawyer. I'm okay. I'm
Your
okay.
dad was a good lawyer.
Oh, thank you.
Highly reputable lawyer, one of the top ones in the county. So
well, he did well.
He
and,
did well.
I appreciated his input in my life and the things that he taught me.
So what happened to you,
Hell
Jeff?
If I
Jeez,
know.
Excuse
me. I never wanted
You're
to be a...
You're sitting with me talking on the radio.
Well, see, this is the thing. I can pal around with lawyers, but I just didn't want to be one. And I don't understand that. I don't understand that, but I didn't.
Good move on
except
your part.
Except when I see, like, I listened to your friend...
Which,
Mr.
I
David?
Have one.
Yeah.
I didn't think I had a friend. Do I have a friend?
Your friend and mine, Democrat Party chair,
oh,
David
yeah.
Beatrice,
okay. yeah.
on the early morning show on TV this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, he's explaining the California law, and of course he's screwing it all up because he has to make it look like these evil Republicans, you know. He made it seem like they were just having a open discrimination talk about or whatever, you know. And it was not about open discrimination. It was about trying to force somebody to, you know, do something that's against their conscience.
Yeah.
It's against your conscience to put, you know, some vile figures on a cake. Then you should not be forced to do it if it's against your religion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going. Okay.
That's where we're going.
All right. I see where we're going. All right.
If you don't want to see two men kissing or two women kissing because it's against your religion, you should not be forced to have to go and shoot pictures at a gay wedding. Now, that's what they do is what they do. I mean, you know, that's their business. But you don't have to make me be involved in it. But this is where they're coming from with the with these laws. They're trying to make sure that nobody can do anything of their own personal belief or conscience unless it's absolutely far left-wing liberal. That's what they want. That's what they want.
Now, let's take this a little step further because, I've been kind of goofy the last, after I left the show yesterday and up until this morning, did I see something on TV where they said that under Obamacare, these places or somewhere, maybe it's in Washington, D.C., the government's paying for transgender sex operations?
I believe that they're paying for transgender operations in several different areas. I got to really find
So the taxpayers are paying for that?
Yes.
Okay, so let me understand this. We have tax dollars that are paying
jail,
for
in prison. You get
yes,
it. Yeah.
So they go to jail and they can get that taken care of.
Sex
but,
change, yes.
But we don't have money to pay our veterans.
No, no.
And we don't have and they're going after that poor lady who lost her cancer, who has cancer and lost her policy.
Right.
And you know we can't do that. And
she's
we certainly
a
have
liar.
Money for trans. So you know what? Here's my conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Obama presidency is very simple. He
mm-hmm.
is the epitome of the 60s mantra, drugs, sex, and rock and roll.
That's right.
And that's what we're getting from him.
That's what you're getting.
Everybody else can go to I got to watch what I see. You know, hey, folks, we got scolded yesterday because Jeff cursed.
Oh, God. Yes,
he
did.
He cussed on the radio.
Lord, I forget.
He said the D word. And Tracy called us up after, and she said, Jeff.
Father, forgive me for having sinned.
That's right. We had to have confession. I had to get out the holy water. We
yeah.
had to light some candles. You know, I had to teach Jeff Hail Marys.
Yes.
You know, those five Our Fathers and 550 Hail Marys, you know.
Yeah, there you go. And he didn't make me pay a penance yet.
That's
but,
right. Hey, you
I'm
know.
I'm okay.
Now we got to watch what we say now. I cuss a lot.
Yeah.
I have to be good when I get on the radio, but I do cuss a lot. You know what? I'm never going to have a heart attack. I'm never going to get an ulcer.
That's what I'm saying. You let it go.
You let it go.
You let it go. Let it fly, because I'm not playing that.
You know, I was sitting in one of my 501c3 meetings. It had to be the second week of January, and
mm-hmm.
I went into a rant.
Yeah.
Those poor people didn't know what hit them.
That's called a spizzarankum.
A what?
A spizzarankum.
Okay. Okay.
You had a spizzarankum moment, and that's okay, man.
You know what? After that, nobody's given me any.
No, they're not gonna bother you. No, because they think you're crazy now.
They are. You know, not that better. They think I'm crazy than.
Yeah.
You know, they'll think you're a little nuts. That's how
yeah.
Reagan defeated the Soviet Union.
There you
they
go.
Thought he was nuts.
There you go. There you go.
He told them we were going to build Star Wars, and we didn't even have, you know, Bolt 1 to do it with.
Absolutely.
And he fooled them.
Well, anyway, I feel better about the spy ship being down in Cuba because John Bolton said that's much to do about nothing. And I trust John Bolton.
Yeah.
He's been honest about things, you know, lately. If that gets too cold, let me know.
No, he's one of the few people who I enjoy listening to and that I'm absolutely confident in his assessment of things. He's a smart man.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him a hard time. He was ambassador to the UN, and they gave him a hard time, didn't they?
Yeah, because they didn't want him to
they
be
They didn't
that,
want him because he didn't take anybody's crap.
No, and he said we should wipe out the top three floors of the United Nations. We'd be better off. We keep paying for it right here on our soil.
They keep telling us how rotten we are.
Well, see, we think we're going to one day go in there as Victor Kings and be the head of the United Nations in a one-world government, but it's not going to work that way.
Yeah, this reminds me, and we were talking about the Bar Association. One of my close friends who's also an attorney said he quit paying bar dues. I said, why would you do that? He says, because we give them money for them to come in and tell us how rotten we are.
Yes.
He says, why would I want to do that? I mean, maybe the United States needs to take that approach with the United Nations. Why would we give them money to give these folks a platform, an international platform, to say how rotten we are?
I agree.
What am I missing in translation there?
You. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you.
You got it going. Dang it, this thing's lighting up over here, folks, and I know. I think we're going to take off. He hits one more button.
It's okay. We got stuff going. I'm
kind of snuck
doing
up
goodness.
On us. That theme music started, and Jeff wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready.
I don't know how to use the console over there. It just looks a little scary. But you know, I got a new car yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
I'm so excited. I went and got a new car.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of one of the guys on one of the morning programs on the local channels did a bit on things that cars don't have anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure out how to turn this sucker on. Because there's no key.
No key, just a little hub right there. Then
I got to push a button.
As long as it's in your car, you're good.
Yeah.
You can go.
I don't get it. And then it took me 2 hours to get my Bluetooth.
Connected to the car.
Connected to the car. I've got a BlackBerry. Now, I pull this BlackBerry out, and everybody makes fun of me because...
Nobody does.
It's like a Model T.
It's a Model T.
Of the smartphones.
You're right.
But it's small. It fits in the palm of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I can text with my thumb. It does everything that I want it to do. I've got a pad to do the other stuff.
Well, God bless you, because I can't do the BlackBerry.
You know, and neither could they. They tried to get this thing hooked up, and it was frustrating. And we were there at least an hour and a half with three people in the car trying to get
the
Bluetooth.
Well, hold that up until after the break.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Michael Savage. I am opposed to revolution because nobody wins. However, you have to fight a tyrannical government virtually at the same level that they're imposing their tyranny on you. We don't want Syria. We don't want 70,000 or 700,000 dead. We don't want a civil war in America. We don't want to see one-fourth of the male population wiped out in a civil war. Ever.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Bring me down, can't numb me. Bring me down, the love is too high. Bring me down, can't numb me.
Alabama, you there? Alabama!
I see what's up, man. I see how y'all want to be, man. Y'all
ain't going to act
right. What do you want to hear, man? What do you want to hear?
I wanted to interject something. Oh, music, or yeah. You just going to talk about what I got to say?
Either way, what do you want to hear?
I say some Bob Marley, but, you know, you guys, you know, Tracy don't like Bob. Bob has a lot of songs, though. But anyway, I was going to interject. You know, the when you first started, you were talking about the, what is it, not integration, the person that refused on religious grounds. The person that refused on religious grounds to, you know, not put the two guys, whatever, on top of a cake. The thing is... Mm-hmm. And this is my concern. Now, I actually agree. I think you should have the right in a true free society to be able to tell someone, no, I don't want X. I just believe that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. That's free. And my thing is the first thing you hear, a few of my friends, man, that's what they did to us. You know, they told us we couldn't have something. As if somehow... them refusing to serve us or give us certain things in their community was a bad thing. Now, true enough, the economy was bad. We didn't have the size of economy that we have now. But
right.
I will make the case that not allowing us as blacks in certain businesses or in certain – is only that dollar is going somewhere. We got $1.1 trillion spending power. And also, I just think – black businesses, like look at the Negro Leagues. I always bring that up as an example. They went under because they had the best athletes. And then all of a sudden, the white major league owners saw that and they wanted the money. It wasn't that, oh, I just want to help people. No, it's just that they saw the wealth, the money that could be brought in because the black games were actually selling out. People sitting all outside, you know, peeping through fences trying to watch these games to see Satchel Paige and all these guys because they were that good. And it just shows the wool that's been pulled over the black community's eyes because now we seem to think that integration is the best thing since sliced bread. Like and it's the complete opposite. If you just, you know, if you want to look at the intentions of something, I make the case that before they integrated, they made sure that white women were minorities, and then they integrated. And now,
no, that didn't come till later. That didn't come till later. I hate to say
yeah, okay,
that.
Okay, so they put the cart after the horse. Okay,
well,
fine.
No, but they knew this. They knew because of the bus boycott in the 50s that if blacks took their businesses away from white businesses, period, that they would not be able to survive very well. And so therefore, you know, because they almost shut that busing company down by walking for that year. And so here you are. They got it, you know, LBJ had it smart. Now, you can tell these people, and this is what's so stupid about the people on my Facebook. it is.
Am I on your Facebook chat?
No, I mean, but you if you are, you say things that are substantive, Mark.
Okay.
But these people, well, that Johnson gave us the civil rights. Johnson did not give you civil rights. He said these uppity niggas are in this country. We got to give them something, or they're going to, calm them down. Not nothing that's going to help, but we just need to calm them down. And then after he had the minority Republican whip up the votes to pass civil rights, that's who did it, ladies and gentlemen.
The Democrats wouldn't vote for it.
They would not vote for it, and they fought it hand and tooth, especially the Southern ones. And
is if you go back, Jeff, and look at the banking industry, look at all these different industries, look at when black people owned a lot of things, did we have the level of discrimination and things that were being done? You take all that and add that in, then we were suffering. But if you take away all that today and you say, okay, we're going to segregate. I mean, I know that sounds a bad word, but I don't have another word to say.
You didn't hear me finish out the point, because that's one of the points I'm going to make. Here it is. He knew that he was going to have some problems politically because of two things that he was going to do. He was going to appease blacks, and he gave passed the bill for civil rights in America, and he also started the Great Society programs and allowed blacks to get in there and get some of it. That did exactly what he said, put those uppity niggas down, and then he said, I know we're going to lose the South, but those niggas will vote for us for the next 200 years. Now, anybody that wants to say that didn't happen, call me, 330-781-9600 and 1-347-945-5229. And just like
But the thing I was trying to make, if you go back and you listen to Malcolm X and you listen to how he was thinking and the comments he was making about Martin Luther King, and now I understand. Look, I'm not dogging King, but I'm just saying I think that Malcolm had the right way of thinking
Malcolm absolutely had the right
He wasn't like, let's not allow white people to work in our companies. Let's not allow blacks to work in other companies. But he's saying you can't come if we're not equals, and I'm coming to you begging for you to give me something. Don't be upset when I come and try to control your life.
Malcolm was about
was like about controlling the community. The dollars within your own community, just like in Montgomery. I'm from Montgomery. My mom and all of them didn't walk. They talked to me. She told me about it. She said black people will beat you up if you jumped on that bus back in the day. She said if you got on that bus, you was gonna get beat down. Some black people tried to get on the bus and got beat down by other black people. And problem we don't have in Montgomery is beating people up, because that's what we do. But the thing is, the sad part about it is if you make that case, they kind of change the whole narrative on what was going on. Because Malcolm X, I think we should have listened to him. I mean, they kept the media.
Okay, I got your point. 440, go ahead and respond.
Yeah, you can't compare the gay and the black thing at all. As being a Christian, you're gay, it's against my religion. You being black, it's not against my religion. So you can't compare either one.
Absolutely.
As far as, if you really don't want to deal with them, it's against your religion or whatever. I charge them about four or five times more. Do you want a cake from me? This is what it's going to cost you. Do you want me to cater your wedding? This is what it cost you. It's simple to get around. I'll make it outrageous for you to even get my services. And that's that. You either pay it or you don't.
See, that's true. That's current discrimination. That's how you discriminate. Now, you really know how to discriminate. That's how you do it. And I just mean, and honestly, that happens all the time. I was talking to Blind Mike. He said, the guy said, look, if we don't want to deal with black people, we just charge them higher interest rates. And even though we find a reason on that credit report to raise the interest, even though we may not do that with their white counterparts, we'll raise their interest rates.
I agree that that's wrong. I'm telling you that you can't, for me to do that against a black person or anybody of color, that's one thing. I'm telling you straight. I'm not going to deal with somebody that's gay if I don't have to. I'm not that way.
But you do realize that there are religious sects across the country that claim that that is their religion, to say that blacks are inferior or whatever. They actually do have religions like
no,
that.
No, I said it's a
the Aryan nation.
You can't bend that. You bend everything towards the black thing. It's not that, and I'm telling you straight. It says that in the Bible. All right.
I'm not bending everything towards the black thing, sir.
I am not going to doggone go to a gay wedding. I don't care if the guy's purple. I'm not going to do that.
Look, I'm on your side on that issue, sir. I'm on your side on that issue. I'm not bending every. First of all, it's Black History Month. Second of all, I'm black, so I mean, I'm gonna speak through my eyes and what I see. I'm sorry, but that's where I am, and that's my culture. Now, I know it may offend you, but I mean, let's be honest. Every business you walk in is. Hold on. Let me finish. Every business I walk in, 99% of them are owned by white people. You go anywhere over the world, all over the world, different. I've been to 14 different countries. Everywhere I go, in order to have a job or be successful, you have to speak English. In order to get a job, you have to wear a European suit. So let's not act as though white people are somehow it's just everything's just even, because it's not. So when you hear me speak like this, don't get offended, because let's be honest. History tells us that 8% of the world controls, 99% of the wealth in the country. Not 99, but I think it's like 90% of the wealth is controlled by white Europeans. So let's not act like it's even right now. I mean, that's the things that's been done. Now, for you to call it just be insensitive to that, I mean, come on now. I mean, I'll be fair and say what I'm saying is, hey, let's follow the Constitution. Let's give everybody equal protection under the law. But I do think that in a free society, if you don't want to serve someone, fine. And I think I'm just making the point that it would actually benefit us if whites told us no, because then we'll have our own. And then that way, I know you probably don't like people reaching out for welfare and all those different programs. But that's what Malcolm X was saying. He was saying, we'll hold you on welfare.
No doubt about it. Self-sufficiency is the way to go. If you really want to be something in America, because that's what America is supposed to be about. It's the land of opportunity, and these people are turning it into the land of equal outcome some kind of way, where they think that somebody's going to be able to just go ahead and give you something to keep you subsisting. That's why 50% of the people in America now are going with the liberal mindset, and huge manufacturing base. We have no real big tech base here because these idiots have gone on these stupid, more or less, what do you call it, the vents on global warming and all these other things, and they stopped industry in America. And nobody realizes that. We tried to say that yesterday. Yeah.
Maybe you guys are not understanding me right. All right.
Oh, I understand. I'm agreeing with you.
No,
but go ahead.
No. All right. If a gay person comes in and wants a meal from me, that's one thing. And I think what everybody's missing. All right. Everything. All right. And I'm not going to charge them any more than that. All right. But if I'm part of the wedding party where I got to take pictures and I'm going to have to serve food and this or that,
right,
this is against my religion. All right. This is the part where everybody's talking about. All right? I'm not going to charge you anymore if you're going to Walmart or whatever. I'm talking about, to be part of that, as far as I'm concerned, is a sin. You're part of that. You're putting your stamp on it and saying that it's okay.
Well, that's what I led off with. You must not have heard when Mark and I were talking earlier. That to somebody that does a cake and you want to put two phallic symbols on there or two female body parts of any kind that's offensive to you and your belief, you should not be made to have to do it. And that's the whole thing, and that's what they're aiming at. They're trying to make sure the church has nothing to say. And I don't know why the churches aren't saying it. I see the one set of black pastors that stood up the other day and said Holder needs to go because he's forcing people to do things against their belief. And, our Constitution says the Constitution United States shall, Congress shall make no law either establishing nor preventing the free will practice of religion in America. And that is what they are doing. They're stopping me from being, from practicing my religion if they're making me do something that's against my conscience. And you know, we had a thing called conscientious objectors when the Vietnam War was on. And if you had a religious, like Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali, he didn't feel like consciously he could go to war and fight and kill.
I got to tell you, you know, Jeff and I agree on a lot of things. This is something that we don't agree on.
Mm-hmm.
My point is there's 325 million people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could find one person that has an identical religious view 100% anywhere. It's like snowflakes. Everybody has their different perspective on things. So where do you draw the line? And so, for example, if you're in Florida and you want to get a driver's license, you are a Islamic fundamentalist and you go in to get your picture with the burqa over your face.
Right.
Should they say it's okay to do because my religion says I have to have a burqa over my face? And so as you get some of these analogies coming down the pike, going against any segment of society gets us on a slippery slope. I think if you're going to function in this country, you've got to take a look at the mores and you've got to look at the culture, and you have to make some accommodation to those things just so we can function as a country.
In your analogy, that woman would not be
if you're a public accommodation, you serve the public. And
I don't either. I'm saying this. I'm just saying, look, I do sound systems. I put sound systems in two gay clubs. I have no problem. Did I like some of the culture that was going on around me while I was doing it? No. Because just seeing two men bust a slob on each other just don't do nothing for me, okay?
Now
he's talking about two women.
It's one thing to come into a situation and put in a sound system or sell somebody a widget. It's another thing to deal with someone who's an artist. I'm sure this person considers themselves an artist. I'm sure this person values the sanctity of marriage and what it stands for and what it originally was supposed to be for. So in that person's mind, I don't think is the same. And also, when you talk about a woman wearing a burqa, if she's going to wear a burqa, then she has to accept wearing that burqa and not having a driver's license. That's just the bottom line. If you're going to wear a burqa or whatever, and you're not going to, that's the accommodation that needs to be made. You can't come in, look, I can wear a burqa and come in there. You don't know if I'm a man or a woman. Walk in and put a burqa on, give you a driver's license, give you some fake, made-up social security number. And then, I mean, come on, man. We have to stop being stupid. I mean, I'm not calling you stupid, sir, but I'm just saying, I just feel like we as a culture and as a society have taken political correctness to the nth degree, and it's eating us alive on the inside like cancer. Because this is clearly a situation where this homosexual knows they can go get something from someone else, but they want to try to make you, they want marriage. They want you to lay down your religion and your beliefs. They're coming after your beliefs. That's what they'll tell you. I've heard sermons, quote unquote, sermons from homosexuals that think that they try to fight that battle. They're not just saying we want civil unions and you're not allowing us to have property. They don't want civil unions. They want it to be called marriage. They want the religious belief. They want you to lay that down, and if you try to practice it, it's hate speech and you should be thrown in jail. That's how a lot of them think. So, I mean, And that's just the society we live in. And I think they're going to win. I think the homosexuals are going to win because they've attached it to the same dogs and holes and discrimination that blacks went through. And blacks are out there stupidly taking up for them and defending it.
Well,
and
I agree.
Not realizing that this is a completely bamboozled. They've taken it and switched the whole situation around, and now we're being made the puppets. Meanwhile, we're suffering worse. Like back to like we did under the doggone Great Depression. We went back, well, we're back that far. We're suffering like that. But we still defend this stuff.
Absolutely. And we'll not admit to why you're suffering like that, because you have a modicum of people that are still pretty much middle class, and because of it, you know, that, well, I'm okay, but you're not looking at the people that are struggling to keep the heat on and the rent at the same time. You know, I'm looking at this red state, blue state disparity and things like that. You don't realize how many people are on the state, you know, and you're not realizing it. You know, I saw these people. Now, our governor here in Ohio, because of the Obama health care law, he expanded Medicare. Okay, now when he expanded the Medicare, it brought in a lot of different things that he's going to be able to do, you know, as far as expansion of certain things, you know, paying for certain things. And he took some money out of a drug awareness program. These people are on one other station, let's put it that way, with a very, very liberal host. He sickens me. He took that money out of there, $6 million he took away from the drug program. Okay, well, your last governor took $12 million out of the early college program of inner-city kids throughout Ohio. Now, talk to me about that, liberal people. Talk to me about that, because telling somebody, making them feel better about themselves, about drugs, so they don't take drugs, has not a doggone thing to do. I can't say that other word from yesterday. Doggone thing to do with anything.
Tracy is listening.
She has ears. And you know what? You told on me, that's okay. I'm going to find you. I'm going to sneak up on you. But anyway, you know, and it's so asinine. It's so stupid. And I can't for the life of me figure these people out. He expands the Medicare. The president's happy with him because he expanded the Medicare in Ohio. The rest of the Republicans are ticked off, and you still got something to complain about. He sickens me. You're idiots. You're just idiots. But call me 330-781-9600 on your local line here and on my international all-over-the-world lines, 1-347-945-5229. I see Alexander hanging out, man. Alex ain't said nothing for days. I have to play some Barry White music, so he'll.
Oh, play Chicago. Play Beginnings.
Okay, we'll do that. I gotta get this on for Alabama for a second though. This is the request line today. Somebody's plugging in the instrument. It says live, evidently. Yeah, man, what you dealing with on a Friday morning? Morning's with Tracy and friends. Yeah, man. Now that's reggae.
I like reggae.
I love reggae.
Ooh, yeah, with shaman.
True story. When I was dating my wife, we went down to Columbus to the Reggae Fest, Sunsplash, and my back was out of place and hurting. I went down there and we were hanging out. We had to walk a long way to get to the site. But I got there, right? Laid down on the ground for about a half hour just listening to the music. I was jamming. I was having a good time. Got up and could walk just as straight and clear. So reggae beats have healing in them, man. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's healing to your bones.
Now I got to go to Florida. You got me wanting to go down that.
Oh, man. I need to get out. I need to go somewhere warm so bad.
I love that music. I was in the Dominican Republic. They love it too, man. Like, Bob is universal. Bob is, look, I put Bob up there with Marvin Gaye, and I know you're going to think it's, I put Tupac up there too, that's just me, but
Well,
it's just
in
certain
rap,
guys
in
that,
genre.
I mean, period. Like, to me, Tupac, his music, but how he looked at things. I don't agree with everything he said, but just the way he, you know, the way he thought, the way he, you can tell his mom was that lawyer that defended, what is it, 21 Black Panthers?
Yeah.
A Phoenix school, that's his mom. I mean, come on. I mean, you gotta, you know, you just listen to the way he talked and the way he said in his rhymes. We don't have people like rappers gonna talk like that. At least they don't. The ones that talk like that don't sell records. So,
well,
you know, that's why you haven't heard
because...
a song like Self Destruction in 20, 30 years now, because there's a reason behind it.
But see, you're talking about a genre that was inside of a culture. And that's why it can't be Marley went into every culture, black, white, yellow, et cetera, et cetera. Tupac did not really.
I haven't been to Africa. I've been to Africa. I've been all over, man. People love Tupac. Like,
I'm not denying that. That's not my point.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but black music is everywhere in the world. That's why you got people in China sagging and with boom boxes on their shoulder back in the day and all this other stuff. If we understood that here, we'd realize that we don't have to be subservient to the white liberal in America. It would be a lot easier than all the stuff that we deal with. I'm going to play something at the top of the hour when we get back from the breaks. Something I wrote years ago when I used to do seminars, and this was for kids, so it's going to be sort of juvenile, but I just want you to hear a little bit of this, and, because it was about black presence in the Bible, and, that's a very controversial subject, I'm telling you, but we'll talk about it one day, and we'll discuss some of this stuff. But, yeah, Marley, there's no doubt about it. Marley was universal, totally universal. Tupac was not universal because he didn't reach the genre from old to young in all generations. He only reached the young in several. And so that's my point. But he's a bad boy now. I'm not taking away from his lyrical abilities or Biggie Smalls, if you ask me. These guys were fantastic. But I got a nephew. Couple nephews that write prolifically. These boys is bad, but they're not out there right now. But we'll see that may be changing here in the next few. But anyway, give us a call. We're having a reggae day right here, man. And we're having fun with you on the radio. That's with the Le Flambeau restaurant as well. Our Caribbean takeout people here up on Hillman Way. Give them a little shout out today, even though, you know, we haven't done anything with them right this minute, but it's all good. We're going to give them a shout-out anyway. Got good food. Good food. Anyway, Mark, that's what's going on. We're gonna try to find a
let's talk about that babe down in Florida that's running.
Oh, yeah. Here it is.
You were doing, you know the people a little bit better than me. I thought it was an interesting story.
Alexis Sink. Alex Sink, out of Florida, Democrat member of the House in D.C., and she seems to say we have to have this immigration bill right now because we need people to do our hotel rooms.
Maids and landscapers.
Maids and landscapers.
That's what she... I'm watching this woman on television.
I love it.
And you know what's scary? She believes it. That wasn't a gaffe. That's how they think.
That was straight-faced. She straight-faced us and said, we need these people here because we need maids and landscapers.
And so my wife was sitting there this morning. We're watching this, trying to wake up at 6 in the morning. And she says, let me see if I have this right. She says, what this woman just said is we have to let all these people into the country to do the jobs that the other people who aren't working don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we're letting these people in so the other people can continue to sit and do nothing.
You remember a couple years ago when George Bush said that? Not like that. He said it that there are these people are doing the jobs that most people in America will not do anymore.
Yeah.
He got excoriated for this. Where is the excoriation in the press right now?
There's none.
I was
There's
gonna say, none.
Can you imagine if she was a conservative?
Oh my God! Yeah, she'd be on a cross with her arms stretched out, nails in her hand.
And I don't even think she's made an explanation since, because this is what they think. It's just that you hear this over and over and over again.
Yes,
from
you
these
do.
Folks. And you know, you get it from corporations. Corporations have this point of view. They're looking for cheap labor.
Right, right, right. But they're evil. They're evil for doing that. And we're not, because we have their best interest at hand.
Thank you.
I gotta find Alex. Alex Sink's comment.
Yeah, one of my liberal friends posted on Facebook last night on my timeline. We don't agree with everything that the president does. We don't agree with everything that the Democratic Party does. We don't agree with some of what our representatives do.
Right,
but they're Democrats and they care, and no Republican does. And I couldn't even respond to that because these folks have been brainwashed to the point where, just like the people that talk to me, you don't look like a Republican, you don't act like a Republican, you don't sound like a Republican.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
am I supposed to look? I mean, you know, I know I don't have one eye in the center of my head.
You're
you know,
a
green-eyed monster throwing Granny off a cliff.
You're a rhino, man.
And I don't care about people. I don't care about anybody but going out and making a buck.
There you go.
What happens when you drink that Kool-Aid? That's what happens. I mean, you think that all liberals, there's no racist liberals and there's no rich liberals. You know, that's what happens when you drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. No rich liberals, of course. There's no such thing. You know,
I said yesterday the greatest celebration of the 1% is going to be on television on Sunday night, and that's the Oscars. And I can hardly wait to see all those people who just care about everybody.
You know, I'm looking at the rain coming down there right now, so we're going to see how that.
Yeah, they talk about global warming. They talk about global warming, but they'll all pull up with the red carpet with their stretch limousines.
Wait a minute, global warming, you missed it. Mother Jones' study says that global warming is going to cause more rapes.
What?
These people are out of their freaking minds.
All right, Jeff, you got to spell that out for me. You know, I'm not the smartest bulb, you know, I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree. You got to tell me how they came
man,
to that.
Man, there's nothing that I can say to you, my man. I can't say a doggone thing for that. What am I going to say to that? Nothing. There's nothing to say.
Now, let me, it must be, it depends on what your definition of hot is.
Did they go on break?
Tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk
600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600.
Latest from ABC News, I'm Richard Davies. Just who's in charge in eastern Ukraine? The crisis turning into an international mystery. Gunmen have been seen patrolling two airports in the Crimean region. Ukraine's interior minister said earlier Russian Navy troops were blocking access to them. That was denied later by the country's security chief. Ukraine's ousted president held a news conference today in Russia. Tom Rivers listened in at the ABC News foreign desk.
A defiant Viktor Yanukovych, through a translator, says he didn't flee, but instead...
I was forced to leave Ukraine under the threat to my life and life of people close to me.
Shots, he said, were fired at his car. As to any regrets, Yanukovych apologizes for, in his words, not having enough strength to stabilize what he calls the lawlessness that engulfed his country. Tom Rivers, ABC News.
A heavy rainstorm in Southern California could bring mudslides and flooding later today and into the weekend. Forecasters say rain could be falling at up to an inch per hour today. Yvonne Bobadilla lives in Glendora, worried about what's going to happen.
We were just watching videos of other mudslides, and it's scary.
Yet you're still here.
I know. I know.
Central California got up to 4 inches of rain yesterday, more on the way. The brutal weather in the colder parts of the country boosting winter travel bookings to warmer states. Gail Weinhoser of the AAA in Minnesota says it's been rough.
We've gone 72 hours or more without ever breaking zero, and as hardy as most Minnesotans are, they're fed up and they want to get out.
Minnesota currently having its eighth coldest winter of all time. But global average temperatures in January were among the highest of any year. A new report from British and American scientists today says global warming is a growing threat. This is ABC News.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This could cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want Viagra at the lowest price. Prices. Never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-390-9323 today to save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-390-9323. Call 800-390-9323. That's 800-390-9323. Again, 800-390-9323.
Officials at one of America's oldest nuclear waste storage sites admit they don't know what's going on to plug a radioactive leak spewing from part of the underground facility. More than 13 workers at the site in Carlsbad, New Mexico, have tested positive for radiological contamination. The Federal Trade Commission says it's received more than 2 million consumer complaints last year, ranging from identity theft and debt collection to improper lending costs and imposter scams. If you've been a victim, one thing to remember...
The Federal Trade Commission is America's consumer protection agency.
Leslie Fair at the FTC says file a complaint at its website, ftc.gov.
When consumers contact us, they're really doing a service to other Americans.
The FTC is involved in who to decide to go after. Consumers can lower their fraud risk also by looking at their financial statements and finding their credit report. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
The most important car in the world is yours. That relationship isn't important because you love gas stations, oil changes, and car payments. Nope, you love all the other things your car drives you to. You call it life. Safe Auto gets it. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO, 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
$1 million laptop computer liquidation. Dell, Toshiba, Apple, Sony, HP, more from $89. Tablets, $59. TVs, tools, iPhones, iPods, iPads, clothes, shoes, jewelry, perfume, liquidated to 80% off. 3 days only this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Only at former Lennons & More store next to Kohl's in Eastwood Mall Complex.
I want to be a box star.
I want to be a fireman.
I want to be a baseball player.
I'll be a chef.
Cause it's like the coolest job ever.
You get to ride around in a giant bus. The chefs get to cook yummy cheeseburgers, pizza, and chocolate, everything.
I would be the pitcher because they get to do something all the time.
They get right on those trucks and never have to stop for red lights or nothing.
And you get to play really loud.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a defect in the immune system that affects millions. Early detection
Action can give children a chance to dream. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 1-866-INFO-4-PI.
My plan is to be the youngest pitcher to ever throw a no-hitter.
All right, a cookbook that's just for kids.
I know I'm going to be famous because my mom and dad call me the little star.
And that pole you slide down? Cool!
Jeffrey Modell Foundation. 25 years of helping children reach for their dreams.
Mark Levin.
I think the American people are starving for a leader. That is somebody who doesn't want to fundamentally transform America, but somebody who wants to save the Republic. That's what we're talking about.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We really need jobs.
We've just got to get the corruption out of our government.
The biggest problem we have is ignorance.
Tune to News Talk 600 for the latest local and national news. Only on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Chicago for you on a Friday morning, 10 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. What's that? Ooh, you got your switch on?
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, man, I don't even know.
Jeff just taught me how to pull the switch.
You know what? Here it is. Listen, 9/11 trucks from George Washington Bridge lane closures released. They're not going to leave this alone. They're going to kill Christie.
Oh yeah, they're just pounding them. Listen, there's many more problems in the world than a traffic jam coming off the George Washington Bridge.
Right.
You know, it's no. Stuff happens in Youngstown. That wouldn't meet page 20 of the Vindicator. No. And, you know, you're pounding this guy. It's terrible. Look what he did. Oh, my God. There was a traffic jam, and they did it. The world's going to end. And meanwhile, Americans are being shot in Benghazi.
Yeah.
The IRS is coming after conservatives.
What does that mean?
The NSA is spying on you, and I don't know if you saw the Jeff on Drudge.
Okay.
The story about the spying coming through Yahoo.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at your cameras coming out, taking pictures of you in your bedroom. And then they're taking these sexually explicit, and you don't know that's going on. They're just doing it.
Right.
So
right.
You know what you need to do is get some tape and put it over that that camera. I mean, the government said this happened in England.
Right.
But the NSA went in and showed them how to do it.
Yeah.
Who are these people? And they're worried about a traffic jam on the George Washington Bridge.
Hold on, 614.
Immigration reform is important in our country. It's one of the main agenda items of the Beaches Chamber of Commerce for obvious reasons, because we have a lot of employers over in the Beaches that rely upon workers, and especially in this high-growth environment, where are you going to get people to work to clean our hotel rooms or do our landscaping? And we don't need to put those employers in a position of hiring undocumented and illegal workers.
But when Bush said that we need them here because they work in our fields and they pick our vegetables, and they work for, you know, a reasonable wage, and do you want your vegetables to cost you $20 a pound versus, you know, what they cost you? He was just the most evil person in the world. Evil, I tell you. Go ahead.
You know, and I want to, and in case you're not, I know this is probably not the most hot topic you would talk about on this program, but if you're looking what's going on over in Ukraine right now, you're watching the, how can I put it, the wages of Barack Obama's foreign policy as Russia prepares to take over the Crimean Peninsula. It is scary, scary stuff. And he sat back when they went into Georgia. He's going to sit back here. And it's just not a real good situation over there. And they're trying to downplay it.
John Kerry gets on there and says, we're watching Russia to see what it is that they're going to do.
We're going to watch Russia!
You know what, folks? It takes, you know what his words are worth? Nothing. Nothing. Because this guy's been talking and threatened and drawing lines, and Putin's going to march in there, and he's going to give him the finger while he's doing it.
Thank you. Thank you. But anyway, I just sent that video to my Facebook to all my racists, my friends that always claim that the Republicans are the racist people. But check it out. Okay, Diva, I'm changing your name. I got to give you this moniker. These two monikers, either Diva Left Leaner or Squeaky Fromm. Which one would you like to be referred to?
What?
I said Diva Left Leaner or Squeaky Fromm.
Why do you have to change my moniker? Tracy gave me that moniker, so you got to leave it alone.
Well, listen. While I'm here, I do my own monikers. Now,
no, it's still the Tracy and Friends show, so you leave it alone.
Yes,
while calling
yes, but she gave me creative.
On you.
She gave me creative abilities here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Just like one day you're going to hear, the politic is hot and so is our talk. Tune in the mornings with Tracy and Friends right here on. Now, you like that?
Wait. Tell me that again.
The politics are hot and so is our talk. Tune in the mornings with Tracy and Friends.
Wow, I like that.
I'm good. I do things like that. I was the one, avoid the rush. Listen to us. See, I'm a writer, so I have that ability. I write songs. I write commercials. I won an award for a commercial for Metzger Photo out of Akron.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
A long time ago. I wrote a commercial for the TRK down there.
Yeah.
RTK, whatever they are, AM station, and it was they're having a sale, and I had samplers. I told you I had a nice digital studio.
Yeah.
And I had all these things set up, and as people, and when they opened the door, they trampled the guy that was opening the door to get to all these specials and stuff like that. And they gave me an award in Ohio for the commercial.
Wow.
Yeah. I enjoy this stuff.
Good. You do jingles.
Yeah, I do jingles. I make jingles up everything. Oh, yeah. WWSY, when they were on. You remember Light Adult Favorites?
Yeah.
I did all the things for that.
Okay. Wow.
WWSY, Light Adult Favorites. And then you had a guitar player. Oh, man, we was rolling. We were. Okay, go ahead, Diva.
Oh, I was just listening. I'm not feeling too well. Went to the movies yesterday. Nice. They have a movie theater down here where you have, it's 21 and over because they sell cocktail beverage. So you can get a cocktail beverage alcoholic beverage while you're watching a movie, eat fine dining, and sit back in plush leather reclining seating.
Where is
that? I don't know what happened.
Really?
Now I'm not
where
cool.
Is it? Where is it at?
East Town Center.
Your boyfriend slipped you a Mickey.
I went by myself.
Well, then the guy next to you slipped you a Mickey.
I sat by myself.
Oh, somebody slipped you a Mickey.
Probably a waitress.
Ooh, waitress?
She was me.
Now, didn't see, there you go. Now I understand why you think like you do.
Yeah, that's right up my alley. I like that. Instead of popcorn, I'm drinking cold beer.
What time is that in?
It's 20 minutes from me at Easton Town Center. So it's like...
Oh, at Easton,
right,
okay. In
Columbus. It's in the mall. Yeah, Columbus.
All right, next time I go to Columbus, I got to check that out.
Yeah, me too. Like I said, I'd rather have a cold beer than a popcorn.
I was going to fall asleep. I was like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be watching a movie.
What'd you go see? 12 Years
About
a Slave?
About last night. Oh, my gosh. My poor ears. My poor eyes.
What is it?
Did you ever... Okay, the remake on the movie About Last Night starring Demi Moore and Rob Lowe, and it's about... The original was about a couple who went from a one-night stand to a live-in relationship. And this one played on that, but it was an all-black cast. So you had Kevin Hart, you had Regina Hall, who are hilarious. You had handsome, oh, my gosh, the guy from Think Like a Man. Can't think of his name now. And then you had Joy Bryant. It was hilariously funny, but it was very, very vulgar.
I can't do vulgar anymore. I'll get up and walk out.
You know,
with
ratings nowadays, anything carries a rated R, violence, or just mild nudity, or just mild language. But man, they really earned that R.
Well, see, I can deal with violence. I can't deal with vulgar because I think it's just, you know, just to say the F word as a word every day in public, I think is just reprehensible as well. So if you, I'm not talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about language. You know, F this, I'm an F for you, and this, that, and other. That's why I can't stand gangster rap. I'm not with that. It doesn't hit my spirit right. And it's just crazy, and it's filthy. I'm sorry to say. I don't care who uses it. I walk through public and I see young kids. Ah, man, you know, F with the F word, you know, F-A-W-K. That's how they say it. And you know, it's like hawk with an F on it. Okay, so it's like I can't take it. You know, I'm not. Feeling that, and that's just something that I think is just ridiculous, totally ridiculous. But you know,
I don't know what you go see these days.
Well,
it's
not
tough to find anything.
Well, I mean, if it's here or there in the film, you can deal with it. But in some of these things, you go to a what's the Hughley guy concert?
Yeah, Hughley.
Every single, and you know he's from right out here in Warren, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, his people from Warren. He came to a NAACP or Urban League dinner a few years ago, and they asked him to tune it down because my band opened up for that dinner that night. And they asked him to please, you have all these pastors and preachers in here, and we would like to, you know, welcome you to the community, but you have to tone your show down, please. He toned down for 5 minutes, and then the next thing you knew, he was off to the F this and that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I mean, he just took it over the edge. Why?
Would you hire that type of comedian knowing that that's their type of comic relief? You know what I'm saying?
He goes on TV and doesn't do that. So you can't tell me that he can't do a half-hour show.
If it's a show that's scripted, he's reading the script, that's one thing. But I have never seen him tone down any of his comic, any of his stand-up comic shows.
Sure he does.
Yeah,
he can't do it on late night.
If you're thin-skinned, do not sit in the front row, please.
Right, this is true.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, why would you hire someone like that and expect for them to tone down what they do?
Because he did radio, because he did TV, and he did not do that. He has the ability to do that. It's just like Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy can turn it on and turn it off, though.
But it's different when you're in stand-up and you're in the moment. It's totally different.
No, no, it's not.
It is.
Diva.
I saw him in Cleveland, and I felt bad for the people in the front row.
And he's funny. You know, he's funny, but I can't take that filthiness. It's just rude and crude, and you know, I'm not feeling that. And so, you know, we're not going that way with it. I couldn't go see that movie in good faith because
the only person that was out there with the language was Kevin Hart. But it was still a funny movie. It was a good movie. I liked it.
Yeah,
other than me cringing every now and again, but it was still a good movie.
I like Kevin Hart when he's cleaner. I like when he was on the show where him and Robin Thicke were always getting into it. The something of Beverly Hills. I can't think.
Real Husbands of Hollywood.
Yeah. That was funny. Sometimes I kind of like that. Because my daughter and I would watch that a lot. But
Ealy, that's who it was.
Okay, Michael Ealy. Okay. I don't think too many people know who Michael Ealy is right now, if you're not of the right community. So we'll leave that one alone. But anyway, Mornings with Tracy and Friends, we're going to pay some bills. I'll let you two talk, and anybody else wants to talk, push that one so you can get in on the conversation. We'll be right back after we pay some bills here, and we can stay on. Tracy, don't beat us up when we get back. Bye-bye.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Mark, what are you doing?
I did the voodoo on your board.
You sure did. There we go.
There we go.
It might seem crazy what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you feel you're going to think away. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to spin. With the air, like I don't care. Maybe it's like a day. Why? Alone if you feel like a room without a roof. I'm alone if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy alone if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy alone if you feel like that. Listen, wifey, if you got something to say, you call in and say it. Don't be trying to snipe me from the side on my phone.
Doesn't like the song?
I know she likes the song. That ain't got nothing to do with it. She's talking about what I said about Kevin Hart and Mike Evans. Yeah, yeah. So you got something to say, you know the number. 330-781-9600 local or 1-347-945-5229.
Dude,
yeah,
you better
I don't
want to
hear this in my,
right.
This mess.
You better
here,
one
you
night
call
night.
Me. Okay. These uppity wives, man. I don't know what's going on with this. I'm going the LBJ route with them.
You better see what one eye open and have your food taste.
I ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about it.
That's because you're far from her. Let her walk up in that studio.
My voice sound like it's shaky to you?
Yeah, because she ain't in that studio.
Yeah,
Mrs.
right.
Green, go ahead and get to the studio. We'll see how Jeff Green changes.
Yeah,
team.
I'd like to see that happen. I'll put a mic right in her face.
He'll be singing in Barry White notes.
Yeah, right. Did you think she was white when you were talking to her, Dina?
Nope.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Somebody asked her was she African American on the phone after we got off the other day, so I didn't know.
Oh, I think Pianki asked her that.
Oh, you sure it was Pianki, wasn't you?
No, I didn't ask. I know she ain't
all
white.
Right. All right, I got it. Don't be giving me I'm a woman of God stuff. I don't want to hear that. You call in. You called it. Didn't want to embarrass me. My wife gonna tell you she don't want to embarrass me because she's a woman of God.
Your wife called.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Yes. Give me some mess on a text.
I couldn't figure out who was giving you the trouble. It's
your
wife.
Man,
this
is my wife.
You better take the call, Jeff. I don't.
I want her to call. She won't call. She talked that noise from the side, but she she come face to face.
He was like, you do too.
She know who the boss. You know, it costs to be the boss, and I'm the boss at all costs.
And they know why.
Did you hear that, Diva? Did you hear what I just said?
Oh,
I said,
Jeff,
it costs to be the boss, and I'm the boss at all costs.
I can give you a cover.
Yeah, you the boss of all.
We'll get you in and out in 30 days, man.
I got a room at Ben's house. I'm okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Mrs. Green will get you everything. He's gone.
She doesn't want the house and her car.
That's all.
Which is hers anyway.
You take the bills, you take the house. That's the way it works.
Yeah, I'll take the bills, you take the house. I'll be in Ben's house for the next 50 years. Eating beans in a can. If I get that. Oh,
singing
man.
I'll rent you the garage.
I wish.
Oh, boy. But anyway, we're having fun with all of this stuff here. It's cold out there, y'all. This is what I need to ask you, Mark.
Uh-oh.
Now, we're looking at all this stuff happening over in the Ukraine.
Yes.
And we have John Kerry saying,
We're watching
you, Russia, and we're not going to take it, and we're going to take a look at you and your spy ship in Cuba and Iran's destroyer off the north, off the Gulf Coast, and we're going to wonder what you're up to. Because
you better not cross the line, because, and you know, I feel so secure that here's one of the top 1% of the 1%ers looking out for you because he cares.
Right.
You look over there with that's a real problem over there, folks. I mean, people don't pay enough attention to foreign policy because it certainly affects what happens here in the United States. You know, best case scenario, it affects us with our economics. Worst case scenario, you know, we go to war, we've got a bunch of dead people. And right now, when you the number one rule in foreign policy politics is there is no vacuum.
Right.
If somebody leaves the space, somebody is going to rush in to fill it. And that's what's happening right now. You've got China moving in through Asia. You've got Russia moving into Central Europe and the Mideast. And our president has got his tail between his legs, walking home, saying, I've got a drone. You come after me, I'll kill you. Well, okay. In the meanwhile, they're spying on you. This isn't a good situation.
No, it's not a good situation, and you're right. And but I'm wondering.
And I can tell you, you know, in it's extremely volatile in Ukraine because there is a long history between Russia and Ukraine, and it's not a good history.
No.
They're looking at the Crimea Peninsula, which is down at the bottom of Ukraine,
right,
on the Black Sea,
where all of Russia's ships are.
The Russian ships are there, and it's a naval base, mm-hmm. and it is 60% ethnic Russia. So they'll pull a Hitler, just like when, you know, Hitler marched into Czechoslovakia
mm-hmm.
to take over because we've got ethnic Germans there.
Right.
And that's the same excuse Russia's going to use. They're going to march in to, you know, to protect the ethnic Russians. They did the same thing in Georgia. And they're slowly but surely, piece by piece, inch by inch, reconstituting the Soviet Empire. It's not a good situation.
I'm wondering, does one thing have to do with this right here?
The president is attending a high-stakes security summit in South Korea. Target, what to do about North Korea and its nuclear weapons. But it's not what the president said on the record making the headlines tonight. ABC's Jake Tapper on what happened when the microphone was left on.
A hot microphone picked up a private presidential plea. President Obama knows well that the Russians are furious over U.S. plans to build a missile defense shield in Europe, and he wanted word to be sent to Vladimir Putin, asking for a little time to smooth things out.
This is my last election, please. Yeah, and after my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah. And I transmit this information to Vladimir and my family.
I'll transmit that to Vladimir. How about that? Now, Do you think what's going on now is Obama's flexibility after his election of last year?
Listen, he may have looked at the situation and told the guy, you go ahead, you can move in here, we won't do anything, you can move in there, we won't do anything, but
right.
We want the missile defense, we're not going to get the missile defense.
No, you're not going to get the missile defense because
that thing's dead in the water.
You have a punk running things like that.
The fact that Putin's doing this sort of thing right now, and you can't tell me that what went on in Ukraine wasn't planned. This is just a bad situation. The Ukrainian people have put up with a lot with the Russians, and in you know, like I'm kind of a Russian file. I like the country, and I have a lot of friends there, and they're great, great people.
Mm-hmm.
But the history is the history. If these folks, when they marched into Ukraine, starved 7 to 8 million people to death.
Right.
They went around house to house looking for kernels of corn.
Wow.
And while it was going on, the United States said, there's no famine in Ukraine. We turned our back the other way. These folks don't like them. it's just a bad situation. Ukraine is the breadbasket of Russia. That's where they get the food. They grow the same way California is in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strategic piece of land. It is an economically important piece of land, and all the natural gas from Russia goes through Ukraine to Western Europe. That's where the pipes go.
Right. That's what this is all about.
That's all about. At the end of the day, that's what this is about. And the Russian bases on the Crimean Peninsula and southern Ukraine.
Right.
Odessa was one of the few warm water Russian ports
that they absolutely need.
That they need.
Because they don't have any warm water ports, and nobody's paying attention to that, of course.
Yeah.
So. Dobre utro.
Hey, spasiba.
You're going way too far from me now.
Pittsburgh University has one of the top Slavic programs in the nation, and they did a 10-week concentrated course on the Russian language and Russian history, which I took. It went from 8 in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon for 10 weeks. Very, very intense, and I went through it, and I know enough Russian to get me into trouble now. But it's a fascinating country with a fascinating history. I've been there a number of times, and
I've never been. I had 1 year of Russian in school, believe it or not, and we were all black junior high school.
Yeah.
I mean high school, and 95%. But we won the statewide Russian dance contest.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we did.
That's great. I love it.
Dr. Yeager was our teacher. Mr. Yeager was our teacher up at South High School, and he put us in the Russian dances and taught us how to do the Russian sword dance. And we went to competition and won it.
That's great music.
Yeah,
too.
It is.
It's wonderful music. Heavy, manly music.
I couldn't get down on my, bend down like that, like that for nothing. Okay, but we used to come down and leap way up in the air and cross our swords and, at each other and do that stuff. And, you walk around in a circle, one hand behind your back. Oh, man, I loved it.
I was in Kiev, and I kind of have an interest in this because I was in Kiev. As the Soviet Union was collapsing, and we got in just by chance, as they were lowering the Russian flag and raising the Ukrainian flag on their parliament building. And it was very moving to be there and to see these folks and to experience, what these folks felt when this wonderful event happened. The hotel we were at, it was on the river that goes through Kiev. It escapes me right now. The elevator worked maybe 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. They switched water. I mean, this is not they would tell you what hours of the day you could get water in your hotel room.
Right.
And there was a loudspeaker in your hotel room, which they blared out the Soviet national anthem. At 6 in the morning, I jumped out of bed, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I almost wet my pants. Ba-bum, bum, ba-bum. Holy smokes. Jeez, oh, man.
330-747, you're in there.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey.
Do you think we should go and fight Russia for the Ukraine? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I'm listening to the...
They got ships docked in Cuba.
They got a spy ship docked in Cuba, and
they're talking about increasing their presence in Latin America.
Hey Jeffrey, when the Europeans was raping Africa and stealing everything over there, and killing and maiming and doing what they did and taking the wealth out of Africa. We never went over there to help those people. So why the heck should we be going over there to help the people who, until 3 or 4 years ago, they were under Russian rule, they were the USSR. They came up, they fought their way out from Russia. So let them fight their way out now. Why should we be over there helping them and we didn't go over there and help people? And there was never no war declared on the continent of Africa. But yet in 1890-something, the Europeans decided to go over there and split Africa up and take the wealth from them. Nobody went over there to help them. So why should we be getting into a war over there? To me,
well,
I think
nobody's
that we
saying we should get
about
a war over this at all.
Right here in the United
nobody's
States.
We should get...
I don't
Pam,
think we should be the global
okay.
Protection
we got it.
Of
we
the
got
whole
it.
World.
Nobody's saying we got it. We got it. Nobody is saying we should go to war over there.
No.
It's more of a commentary on when we have a weak president, you know, projecting
well, see,
absolute.
Idea,
just a second. Just a second. Just
idea.
A second. We
but
got
I'm
it.
Just saying that we
I know what you're saying.
Sam, I gotta mute you. You gotta go back and
we
forth.
We know what you're saying. We got a weak president who has you know given us. The,
I'm from Reagan with
on.
Your headline.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, we've got a weak president who's not done a good job in foreign policy, and we're now perceived as being weaklings, and they can push us around and get away with it. It's, you know, what's going to happen to Ukraine right now is going to happen, and there's not a whole lot we can do about
say,
it. The problem is it never should have gotten
no
to this place. It never should have gotten to this point in the first place.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to say. Pam, you got to let somebody answer you because you give – too much information, and then you know, by the time we're trying to answer the first part of it, you brought in three more sides. So just talk back and forth, and I'll give you enough time. You know, not going to hold you up. Okay, I'm bringing you back in. Yeah, I had you muted because
what's his name, Mark?
Yeah,
Mark. I feel you know what I feel about you. I feel that you are a European descendant white man that really don't have no respect for a strong black man. And that's what we have in the White House.
Oh, my God. Okay, now, Pam,
no,
I'm going to answer
on,
that
now.
One.
No,
you
yeah.
got a
I'm
weak...
Not
yeah, okay,
you
now, I'm a Pam.
You know what?
If we had a strong black man in the White House that's talking about tearing up your military so that if you get attacked on two fronts, you can't even take care of your own behind. And then I know that he's a weak... He's a weak... He is a very weak... You know what, though, Pam? You have no idea what you're saying right here. And I'm going to say it like this. Now, he
I'm
told you. No, listen.
We
no, you
not
told him. You made a statement.
Meddling in everybody else's problems with all the problems we
That's
got
not
right
what
here.
He said. That's not what he said. He
no,
said this never should have got here. And he said that you got a weak president, which you do. He's a weak. When you got him
yeah.
whispering to the Russian president said, I can be more flexible after the election. That's a bunch of BS right there. That's
yeah.
a weak
yeah.
move.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you allow Iran to have a powered warship down in your Gulf, that's a weak man.
Well,
when you have
don't blame, you don't blame the news network
Iran's
for your failures.
Iran's got one down there, but so does Israel. And Israel is just as much of an enemy to this country as anybody else.
No, they
else.
Are not. They should be now because they got a man they got
you
a man that won't even stand up against
that
it.
You say you are that Israel is God's chosen people. I believe.
Who are you listening to? Who's teaching
what?
You this stuff? Who's teaching
you
this stuff?
You have a president that blames the news network on his problems.
It's a little bit old when you see this country going to hell and back in a handbasket right now.
Right.
I don't care what the president of the United States is purple with green spots. This guy's terrible. He's horrible. And, you know, what he's done to our foreign policy, he's destroyed our foreign policy, he's destroyed our health care system, he's destroying our economy, he's destroying religion. And you know what? I've had enough with the destruction with this dude. Time for him to go.
Yeah, if you think he's a strong man, then you have no idea what a strong man is. Sorry.
Oh, no, I've had four of them.
Well,
wait. She's had four of them?
Well, I mean,
I've had four strong black men. I know what a strong black man is.
But here's this. You don't have one now because this guy is a political punk. And he's being and all he's doing is being run by the progressives to make stupid mistakes.
For the last 10 presidents, we have not had a strong one. That's why we're
Yes, that's not true. That's not true whatsoever.
That's not why we're in the position we're in now.
No, it isn't why you're in there. You had one man over the past.
President Obama came in, and all of a sudden he got us in the mess we're in.
Yes, absolutely. Jimmy Carter was the first messed up president you had in modern day right now. He destroyed America. Okay?
Start with Woodrow Wilson and come all the way up.
I'm not starting with Woodrow Wilson.
Talking about modern day presidents.
You won World War II. So you did not win Korea. Now, you want to start
Korea
from there, then you can...
Korea was supposed to be won.
Regardless of whatever it was supposed to be.
And therein lies the problem. It was supposed to make money.
It was supposed to make money, and that's what it did. It killed a lot of boys to put this country back into position. But it wasn't supposed to be won.
What history books are you reading? Pam,
I have no idea.
Let's talk about the wars the United States has been involved in. We've been involved in Korea. We didn't win that one. We've been involved in Vietnam. We didn't win that one. Then we had the first Iraq war. We could have won it, but they got to the border and walked away. Now we've had the second Iraq war. We're walking away from there. Afghanistan's been a disaster. Folks, our track record's not so good right now. We've got the rules of engagement over in Afghanistan, and if these guys are shot at from 10 different directions, they couldn't shoot back.
They're told in Afghanistan now that they can't even put bullets in their guns in certain areas.
Yeah, so this is just a really good way to run a foreign policy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so here we got our president who's turning his back, who is allowed... put Israel in a very precarious position.
Right.
He has backed down on Benghazi. Big deal. He killed bin Laden. And you know what?
I don't think it wasn't that big of a deal.
What kind of strong leader is this? And one of these days we're going to be in trouble.
Well, you're also a strong leader.
We're
in trouble when he got in office.
No, you were not.
Yes, we were.
That is a lie. I hate to tell you this, Pam. They fooled you into thinking that we were so unrecoverable. You were not unrecoverable. This economy does this. We go from good to bad, and we go to recessions. And because of the housing bubble, we were in worse than a recession this last time. But if he had left it alone and let business do what it does, this country would be back by now. Instead, he throws a wet blanket on it because of his idiotic ideology. Does your behind feel warm today? Is it warming outside now? The Great Lakes have frozen over for the first time in the last 25 years, but it's warming out there.
Somewhere on this earth, I read in the paper where it was warmer in Alaska than it was in New Orleans.
So what does that tell you?
You were talking about, the other day you were talking about the fuel and coal, and because President Obama said that you shouldn't use coal. He wants you to use a different energy. You were talking about how China was going ahead. Did you hear on the news the other day where China was over there in the smog and they had some kind of gas coming from the coal and people were getting sick over there? Do you remember how it was in the 40s here when we were burning soft coal and you had TB sanitariums everywhere? You got rid of it, and now you don't very seldom hear people having TB.
So if you go back to burning coal like you did before, did nobody tell you other diseases? Pam, ain't nobody tell you to go back to burning coal like before. They have something called clean coal technology. And guess
no
what?
Such thing as clean
there
coal
is two. Okay, well then, you know what? Then I can't talk to you
because
if you
right
if you
clean,
refuse
I don't
if you refuse
I was,
hold on,
I lived on a coal mine in town. In a coal mine, I come out of West Virginia before
listen,
I came to Pennsylvania.
Listen.
So there is no clean coal. I don't care how you look at it.
Once again, I can't, Pam, I can't do nothing with you because they have a clean coal technology. Wait a minute, man. That you can put the coal, you don't even have to
That's
burn it anymore.
That's propaganda, Jeff. You're going
it is
along
not
with
propaganda.
What you want
okay,
to be,
well, you know what, Pam? Thank you.
Feet away from
I love
coal
you,
plant.
Auntie, but I can't do this. Go ahead,
Warren. I grew up 500 feet away from a coal plant. I don't understand the point.
Yeah, the thing is technology can change for everything else, but you know, when you say that you can use something that this idiot man in the White House is telling you you can't. And to me, he's an idiot because he's being handled by his people. He's destroying the rest of the job. The black race is losing it every single economic indicator, and they're the only ones that's losing right now. The only ones, and then you're going to tell me this is a strong black man in the White House. That is where I can't take it.
You can't.
Go ahead.
First of all, shrinking the military down. Shrinking the military down is the first sign of weakness. I mean, what strong leader does that?
No, it don't happen. If you don't have the strength to defend yourself, there's nothing that you can do. You're not going to. You can't
you
cut your military down to where
the world, it wouldn't
you want to take guns.
You
got to
be all over the world because
you
got interest.
Stop trying
if you,
to defend the world.
Okay,
you
got
he doesn't even want American citizens to own guns.
South Carolina, you're in there.
Oh man, this is absolutely crazy what I'm hearing. Invade Africa in 1890. We weren't even worried about Africa at that point in time. I
didn't
I
say
it.
Invade Africa. They never invaded. They just went in and took over. They the
it was
Europeans decided to go to take the west of Africa because they needed it. And they have been doing it ever since 1890. And I'm
Why?
Saying that we have never went over there to help those countries when you went over there and you were committing genocide over in Africa. So why are we going to
Who was
to
committing
Europe?
Genocide?
Who committed
why
genocide in Africa?
No president has ever went over there to help.
Nobody us. Asked to go to Europe, Pam. Nobody. We said... You got John Kerry talking this noise about we're watching you, Russia, and we're Rice up there talking about how grave of a move it would be made if you moved in and took over, and they've taken over the two airports, and they've taken over the whole port where all of their ships are, and nobody said a doggone thing. We're talking about leadership. That's what we're talking
about.
They're
moving in Latin America. That's why they got a ship in Cuba.
You better be worried about it because you know what? These people make dangerous weapons that can reach here, and you better balance them out or else your behind is going to be fried. So if you want
that,
then you keep up voting for people like this and put them in the office till one day you're sitting up there as a cinder block with having a nuclear winter over here where you can't grow anything because they hate you. And they don't want you to be anywhere near powerful in the world. You go right ahead.
We're going to be sitting over there in the position you just talked about. It's going to happen anyway. Because
no, it's
of
not.
All of this thing
no,
that
it's
we're
not. Because no,
sky,
no, no, no. This is why. This is
why.
Up
there messing with the atmosphere.
Well, guess what? If you get a strong president, you'll have the defense shield that will stop them from being able to launch at you. That's what this is all about. We want to build a defense shield over there in Europe to protect us and our allies, and Russia is raising hell about it because that cuts their power. Because if they don't have the ability to strike us or our allies like they want to, there is no balance for them, they feel. We're not trying to take theirs, but they sure enough want to take what they want to take. That's why they're up in the Arctic now, taking over the Arctic ice areas around Alaska and all these other things that we have run for all of these years. You got to poke in the White House.
They're moving into Latin America now. That's where they got their ship from, down
in
Cuba.
I'm sorry.
And the land came down. It took Noah 140 years, didn't it, to build that ark? So it's going to, I don't know how long it's going to take before the global warming is going to get here, but it's on its way.
There's no global warming, Pam. There's none.
Just keep on.
There's no global warming, sis.
It's not going to rain.
MIT scientists.
Started, you started
no, no, this is not rain. This is not. This is not Noah and
it,
no.
That's all I
no,
this,
and okay.
I'm one MIT scientist. That's not.
That is not
consistent.
One MIT scientist. That is not.
It
one.
Is. I can only find one MIT scientist.
Oh,
you have to give me another name.
Oh, my goodness. I can't take these global warming arguments, man.
My question to you is, what exactly do you think scientists are saying global warming is and how it affects our nation?
Well, Diva, let's start with Diva. We've got climate fluctuation in the world since it was born. There's nothing new. We've had ice ages. We've had many ice ages where the Sahara Desert is. That used to be fertile. It goes over. New York used to be tropical. There's movement of the continents. There's things.
Right.
There's
again,
you're not answering the question.
Hold on, let me block her so she can not.
Diva, it is not global warming. There's lots of different. It's not carbon dioxide that's causing this. We have had more carbon dioxide in the air than we've had ice ages. Because you know what spews them? You can save all you want with the coal plants and everything. One volcano goes off in this country, it spews 100 times than we could ever put in the air ourselves. And we've had a lot more carbon dioxide in the air than we've had right now. There's going to be climate fluctuation. There's always climate fluctuation. They had a mini ice age back in the 1800s. It warmed up, but cooled down, it warms up. That's kind of how the Earth works. It's called weather. These people aren't looking to save. They're looking to spread around money. It's at the end of the day, everything is about money.
I try to tell
you
this.
Cycles, and the planet
all
can
the
fix
time.
Itself, period. Period. It can fix itself. It doesn't need our help.
And once again, you just ignore the fact that you have an organization called CCX in Chicago. CCX is a carbon exchange that they're going to put in as soon as the president can effectuate a cap and trade or cap and tax, whatever you want to call it. They will own manufacturing. They will own everything in the world, your energy consumption. They will bring you under their control. Why? They're going to make $11 trillion the very first year they go into business.
Is Al Gore a holder in that?
Yes, he is.
I thought so.
So is the president. So is Valerie Jarrett.
Okay.
So is several others of this administration. And
The only question I had asked was, tell me what their argument is.
Their argument is that greenhouse gases are causing heat to stay within the doggone Earth's atmosphere, and it's a lie. You're freezing your butt off right now because of it.
Right.
The fact that you're saying that lets me know you don't understand the argument they're making, especially when you sit up there and you say, well, it's winter and it's cold out. What's going on with global warming?
The ice caps are freezing more than they've ever had before.
It's a joke.
In the last
50
years,
it was warmer in Alaska.
I don't care whether it's warmer in Alaska. It gets warm in Alaska at times.
It's not supposed to get warm in Alaska, warmer than New Orleans in wintertime.
Why isn't it? When they have found
most of their
Diva,
year is
Diva, in your little
most
lifetime, a lot of stuff
shorter
didn't
than
happen,
anywhere
okay?
else in the United States.
Okay, we're going to top right. of the hour break, and so we're gonna go through this. In your little lifetime, you don't know anything about what Alaska does or doesn't
well,
do.
Well, in your six
and the
decades,
thing is,
you obviously don't
I,
know
well,
too much
no,
either.
Well, you don't know, you don't know what
is,
I do,
it's
dear.
Not going to stay that way. It's not going to stay that way.
You guys think, it's cold out in the winter, that there's no proof to global warming. That is ridiculous. I mean, I sit back and I laugh because I'm like, you guys obviously have no clue about the argument about what they're saying. It's laughable. You talk about,
Diva.
Well, we've had so many different climate changes. We had the ice ages. Yeah, what happened during the ice ages?
Diva, it's
okay?
not going to stay
you're
that way,
New
Diva.
York City used to be tropical. What happened? So you mean to tell me if the world froze over today, we'd still, a majority population would still be able to survive and sustain and would still have the life that we have today? No, we would
Diva.
Not.
Carbon credits aren't going to solve the problem,
I'm
Diva.
Not talking about carbon credits. I could care less about why they're saying that. There could be a debate on why they're saying
There's,
global warming is happening. That's a real debate. But to deny
the problem,
it's to make false claims.
You're right. The planet goes through cycles.
It
always
it
does.
It is junk science. Let me explain something to you, Diva. If one volcano erupting puts enough carbon dioxide and junk in the air, then millions and millions of cars on the road do in 20 years.
Yeah, every year.
If we think we're so
again,
damn arrogant
again,
that we think
again,
we are
again,
so damn arrogant
like
we
said,
think that we
can
do
have a
it
real
ourselves.
Debate on the why. I could care
what
less as why, as far as when you guys sit it there and you actually deny global warming, i.e. climate change, and you say, oh, it's cold out there in winter, whatever happened to global warming, as if nothing is going
on. I'm not denying it, Diva. I just don't believe it.
How many times I see and I hear you say, oh, how about that global warming thing? It's cold outside. How about that global warming thing? You can't deny that our climate is changing. Something is going wrong. I've been on this earth 34 years,
we're
and
not
I have
doing
not
anything
seen.
Wrong, Diva.
It's been one day.
People
is one day snowing
wrong.
Here in Columbus. The next day is 50 degrees. You can't tell me something is not odd in that.
Hey, so if I ride a bike to work, that's not going to happen, Diva? Is that what you're saying? If I ride a bike to work, then it won't
again,
happen?
Again, I'm
no.
not talking about the why. I could care less about the why. Just simply
hey,
don't
hey,
deny
talk about it at all. I don't
happening.
Understand why
hey,
talk about it at all.
Hey,
why is the government involved
hey,
in this?
Hey, listen. When I graduated boot camp in January of 1993, it was 0 degrees at Parris Island, South Carolina. Parris Island doesn't get that kind of weather all the time.
Again,
well, guess what
that
happened?
Should
no,
tell
no,
you something
no, guess,
wasn't right.
Listen to me. The same thing happened this year. The same kind of weather, same kind of weather patterns. Weather patterns are cyclical. People who have lived long enough to know that understand that.
Yeah.
So
okay.
why do
well,
we
you
do
ain't
so why
live
do we
long
ask
enough
presidents,
to
so why do
or
we keep
experience
asking
the ice age?
How they feel about it?
Or
why
to experience
are we having this conversation?
Those conversations where it has wiped out many things, many species
you know,
in the world.
And there's nothing that can be done
based
to prevent
on,
it from happening.
It's based
you're right.
Fear,
you're right. There's nothing that can be done about it. Let's have that conversation.
That's
a real conversation about global warming and that the Earth, sometimes the Earth goes through cyclical changes that will change the way humanity lives. But let's not deny it altogether. That's what pisses me off about you guys when you make jokes. Oh, it's cold out. Whatever happened to that global warming? That's not the argument about global warming. The argument is, for some reason, the Earth's core is heating up and it's causing extreme weather patterns. It's causing extreme things to happen in our weather.
The Earth is not heating up, Diva.
And it's not happening overnight.
It is based on fear, ignorance, and greed. It is based on fear, ignorance,
right.
and greed.
Okay.
Those three things...
Nothing can be done.
You do things. You get people afraid. You get people afraid. You give them damn junk science, and they go berserk. So you make money off of it.
You get scared, you can't
think
straight. You get scared, you don't think straight, and they make money.
But the fact
is,
to deny it, to try to get to not believe it, is not going to do anything. Because what it's going to do is going to create a group of people, a society. That
it's
is not going
emotion.
To be able to handle what is going to come.
This is an emotional argument.
It's all about
it's an emotional argument.
You know what? You guys always talk about, oh, I'm only talking logic. Shut, you know what? Just shut up, for real. Because you're always trying to say, oh, you're emotional. Just shut up. It's offensive, it's egregious, and it makes no sense. Because sometimes you need a little bit of emotion to get your darn point across because logical thinking is not the only type of thinking that operates in our society. Imagine if everybody only thought logically, we wouldn't have many advances that we have today.
Not true, Diva.
Yes,
not true
yes that is true. You know what? Just shut up. Okay, I'm done with the conversation. I'm done talking to you guys. So have a good day. Bye.
Well,
you hung up?
Well, wow. Wow.
And see, that's the emotional side.
You just made the point exactly. She made the point.
So, you're sitting there and you're watching this stuff, and I'm like, what the hell?
Right. What are you talking about? Greenhouse gases none of this stuff they're worrying about is doing anything to affect the planet. You know, it's just crazy.
The co-founder of Greenpeace, I saw him on an interview this morning, and he's saying that, hey, global warming, that's a joke. It's not true. There's no basis for it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I
like
sat
you said,
and had a conversation with my secretary this morning concerning the minimum wage thing, and I tried to explain to her there was more to increasing the person's minimum wage that these folks are not taking into consideration. You know,
yeah.
you increase somebody's salary to $10 an hour, you've also increased the amount that if you're selling tangible items like burger, hot dogs, or hamburgers, and iPods and iPads. That money's going to have to be made up somewhere, else that businessman can't stay in business, or he's going to have to lay some folks off. It's basic economics.
Yeah, in Ohio, here in Ohio, on January 1st, they raised the minimum wage up 20 cents. Do you know every single thing on the menu at McDonald's went up exactly 20 cents? And people don't notice that. Nobody noticed it.
I noticed it.
Uh-huh. A double cheeseburger is $1. It's $1.20 now.
So that little increase you got was wiped out. Oh, man, I tell you what.
All I can do is I just shake my head. People are like, oh, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm like, okay. All right.
And,
like Rocky III when he dropped the towel.
And, you know, my secretary, she's a sweet lady. She knows her job. She's off the chain. And we were talking, and I just tried to explain to her, and she says, but you don't care? You don't care if they can't make enough money to feed their family? And I said, who feeding their family? She said, you can't live off of $7.25 an hour. And I said, okay.
All right.
And she said, well, are they living by themselves? She said, no. What if it's a woman and she's got her children? And I said, well, how did she get children in the first place?
Yeah.
And see, you have to ask those hard questions, and that's when you become, you know, people say, oh, you're mean and you're not compassionate and things like that. But, you know, you have to ask. That employer is not responsible for your bad decisions, you know, the bad decisions
yeah.
you've made in your life. And you have to ask those questions, and you have to be like that. And you can't take it to an emotional level. How have you done that logic?
I agree. Tell us how to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, and the key word
okay,
is not
that's
child,
how that one
children.
Works. Okay, I'm with
we
that.
Have to get like Reverend Jim at the Church of What's Happening Now.
Hey, Jeff.
Man, oh man. Okay, we're gonna try this again on the other cart. I see how this one works. Now you press down and pull it out now. Okay,
and that looks good.
Yeah, it looks good, but that doesn't mean it is.
Hey, Jeff.
See. Man, we're just not having good luck on this today. Wait, I'm too hot over here. Okay, where are you at?
Hello?
Where are you? There we go. It's worse than the other one.
Wow.
It's worse than the other one, Mark. Unbelievable. We gotta do something about this. And then it doesn't want to reject. It sounds good. It really does, but it's coming out.
Well, we'll have Tracy can fix it when she comes back.
Yeah, right. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Look, I don't want to talk about global warming again because I think it's a junk science. I think it's foolishness because if we're putting all of this CO2 in the atmosphere, you tell me what happened when we had doggone volcanoes going off all around the globe.
when one volcano puts more into the air than our whole United States and Russia and China and all the other countries of the world can put in there over a couple years, one volcano eruption puts more in the atmosphere. Tell me that these people aren't getting ready to make like $1 billion, and that's all they're doing.
Hey, Jeff?
Yeah.
I think we really made Diva mad. I think she might have cussed
yeah.
on that.
But,
yeah.
She
yeah.
cussed. But, she yeah. cussed. That's why it's not working.
I think I made her do it. I apologize, Diva. I didn't mean to get you out.
Yeah, we were. Yeah,
but here's the problem
yeah.
that I'm looking at with the global warming. I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to leave it alone. Global warming is based out of fear and junk science, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of folks trying to make some money. Fear, junk science, and greed.
$11 trillion the first year that the CCX opens.
You know, so that's all I got to say about it. But we had a nice, healthy debate about the minimum wage, Jeff, here, and I've just come to the conclusion that it's a bad idea the way they're trying to do it. You know, it was
yeah,
just tell about how the other gentleman that they raised the minimum wage and the price of the burgers went up the same amount they raised the minimum wage.
Uh-huh. Oh,
that's here, right here in Trumbull County. All the McDonald's here in Trumbull County, January 1st, everything went up 20 cents on the menus everywhere.
Wow.
And guess what? We deserve that to go up 20 cents and not be able to afford to buy the doggone things if we allow this stuff, because it's so stupid. It's backwards. It doesn't make sense. It's not going to raise anybody out of poverty, as these people are saying. And I just get so frustrated because there's no thought in this. No thought. If people thought about this, they wouldn't just be, this is what it is. It's going to be good for us. And blah, blah, blah. It's not going to be good for you. It can't be good for you. Go ahead, Diva. I hear you.
No, I was going to say, unless you want to pay $6 for a double cheeseburger at McDonald's, then, yeah, go for it.
Well, that's where it's going. That's where it's going. And, see, you know, I hate hustling to live. And, with all these things going up, you know, and then you're going to have that little sniveling Harry Reid tell me that my Obamacare health plan.
It's all lies. It's all lies. He comes over there. It's made from whole cloth. It's all lies. They've manufactured it to the whole cloth.
And we had to read the bill before we had to pass the bill before we could find out what's in it. And now that it's a Trojan horse. Go ahead.
Some days I kind of wonder if something wrong with Harry Reid.
No, Harry Reid is just an evil man. I mean, he is who he is. He is. What's that dog? Droopy. That's who he is. He's Droopy off the comic books.
He's more like Deputy Dog.
Well, he ain't stupid. See, Deputy Dog. That'd be more like Biden. Biden is Deputy Dog. See you, Muskie. Did you see these idiots running through the White House?
Which idiots?
The president and the vice president. Because they got this little fake thing, you know, of course it's to pump up the first lady's fitness program. And you have Biden come into the Oval Office and say, "You ready to do this?" And then the president said, "Yeah, let's do this thing." And they get up in their suits and stuff and start jogging through the White House. They passed the two White House dogs, and you know, dogs get up and follow people when they come by. You know, they'll run with you. These dogs look at it and what the heck is wrong with them? It was hilarious. Oh, I loved it. It was hilarious.
Yeah, so if you want to read about what Jeff is talking about, you can go online and read. You can Google Chicago Climate Exchange. Wikipedia has a pretty good article on it, and you can see what it is that they're doing. And yeah, they're just so wonderful. They care.
Wait a minute. Now, here's the thing. This is for Diva Leflinger. They just had in Alaska, for the first time, minus 97 degrees temperature in the same time that at one time there was a passing of temperature where Alaska was warmer. Okay, somebody got their radio on again. I got to do something with that. That they supposedly was warmer in Alaska, you know, this one day than it was, you know, in New Orleans. That has nothing to do with it. That stuff happens. You have a jet stream. You have where warm air blows here and there at times. Anything can happen. But you saw those idiots get caught down there in the Antarctic ice, didn't you? But they don't say, that had nothing to do with anything. Yes, it did. It was colder down there than you thought it was, and your icebreakers got caught. That's the whole thing. This is a junk science. They're wanting to make it be what they want it to be because they're going to make a kabillion bucks out of it.
Here's the thing that people don't quite understand, Jeff. Do you know how mm-hmm. much ice it takes to get an ice or ship stuck and your icebreaker can't get through? You're not talking about 2 feet of ice. You're talking about a good 10 to 12 feet of ice.
Right. Right. So. Even with one that can break only 3 or 4 meters, because that's what that is. It's fake. They're faking you out. They're doing these things because you don't understand the politics of what's going on here in America. You know,
Obama wants to invest $1 billion in the global warming on top of what he's already invested.
Oh yeah, he wants more of the same. We're going to get rid of coal. We're going to get rid of all this stuff because they actually believe this stuff. But once again, how do you deal with when there was volcanoes on the earth and we got as warm as we get now? How do you get it when that North America was under permafrost? And why do you want everybody to be up under permafrost? Because you think that you're going to lose some landmass if some of the ice cap melts. The ice cap melts and goes back. We see that happen on Mars every year. Every year their ice caps expand, and every year their ice caps shrink. So why shouldn't ours do the same in the same solar system with the same sun beating down on our planet? And not only that, it gets warmer when that sun shoots off sun flares. This is foolishness, but that's me.
I'm here kind of reading the stuff about what you were talking about with the Chicago Climate
CCX,
Exchange.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. Is it still operating?
Well, they haven't been able to operate yet because he hasn't been able to pass.
No, they were actually doing stuff. And then, they shut their – Gore was buying and selling stuff on there.
Well,
he was buying all these carbon offsets himself and reselling them.
And reselling them on a local basis. But it wasn't really legal. I mean, it wasn't really like they had to do it. That would be a voluntary program for somebody to do.
It was privately owned, and it was shut down in 2010, 2011. It's been on hiatus.
Mm-hmm. Because they haven't had enough to put through it.
Yeah.
And see, so, you know.
We blocked it. I mean, they were ready to go. We blocked it. These people were going to make a killing.
$11 trillion first year of operation.
Holy smokes.
Do you know what $11 trillion is? $11 trillion would wipe out how much of our debt? We're at $17 trillion now?
Yeah,
we'd be down to $6 trillion worth of debt if we could get that money and put it right on the debt.
The principals were Obama's foundation,
mm-hmm.
some of Obama's cohorts, Al Gore.
Al Gore.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have this plan. They're going to get this through if their life depends on it. And see, nobody's looking there. They're looking at, well, these scientists say, and of the 97% of the scientists that are saying that that they support this, they've let 10% of the scientists do the work, and they've just agreed with the work that the 10% of the scientists have done. Forget the scientists to say if climate's changing, it's climbing naturally. Forget the ones that are saying that it's got to do with the sunspots and all the other stuff. Those people don't matter to them. Why? Because there's money vested in this other. There's not going to be any cataclysmic action because of this. Now, we're going to have cataclysmic action, no doubt about it. Okay, yeah. Bill Schroeder says, the pagan goddess worship of Mother Earth goddess, which is true. This is what they're doing. They're doing the pagan stuff right in front of your face, and you're dealing with this right now. And that's what you're dealing with. It's a religion, ladies and gentlemen, that they put up. Pagan goddess worship, harm the mother goddess, and you must be punished. And that's what they're putting before everybody.
You know, here's the thing. I mean, all scientists say you're not allowed to disagree with them. The fact of the matter is, all scientists don't say that.
No, there's plenty that don't.
You know, the scientists that were saying it turned out to be discredited. There was only, as you said, Jeff, a few amount of people that were actually doing work on it. They were forging. They were padding the results.
And they were using each other's
results. And in the meantime, you're looking at this exchange in Chicago, which I'm really fascinating, you know, looking at it, that they had, you know, millions upon millions upon millions of dollars establishing this thing, and then to basically sell air.
Right. We're going to pay a bill first,
amazing.
And then we bring it back.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center Find the Green Witch Workshop catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service.
But I had to do it. You know why? Because I started not being happy.
we're happy, Jeff. At our age, we got up in the morning.
We better, yeah. That is true, man. I'm happy to be up and moving.
Yeah, you reach a certain point when you're watching the news, you say, God, that's going to be a problem 20 years from now, and you think, I probably won't be here, not my problem.
Well, you know, but hey, but we, if we get ourselves in shape, maybe we'll be able to be here and fight, you know, fight some things that are coming or whatever, because I'd like to be here to see my daughter do a lot of things, you know.
Oh, sure,
so,
sure.
But, you know, my father saw a lot of things. He lived to be 88.
Oh wow!
So I mean, I'm happy. 88 years is a good amount of time.
My dad lived to be 84. My mom lived to be almost 90. She was a month short of being 90. But
okay.
My one uncle's still living. He's 101 up in Michigan right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, they keep going. I'll
keep going and going.
Another man that's 100. Another one that's 98.
And going. There you go.
But these aren't blood relatives. These are the people who married into the families.
Yeah. Well.
I don't know how that, you know, is going to
work
out.
How that translates out, right?
Yeah, translate.
It doesn't matter, but, you know, it matters what you do with what you get, I guess. I guess that's what it gets, you know, when you're trying to keep some things going. But, hey, what's that noise? Oh, that was you.
What?
When you're scratching your finger. You got money coming.
I didn't know what happened like that.
Oh, that's sensitive mic now. You can hear cockroaches walking on cotton over there and that.
How come I can't hear it? Other than the fact that I'm half
deaf. Well, you're hearing it in the headphones, so you're hearing it process signal.
Okay.
So you don't know what you're getting totally, but here I'm hearing anything that mic picks up because I'm on the master board.
Okay.
And so it does what it's going to do. So, you know, that's how that's going to play out here. We got a lot of power up in here. That's why Tracy gets
a... I better not belch then. No,
we hear that. We hear chewing.
I can't do that.
Sometimes I chew in the mic on purpose and it just drives Tracy crazy. I'm very unruly at times, man.
You've always been a rebel, Jeff.
I'm a rebel. Johnny Yuma.
I chewed in the microphone over here.
Is that Johnny Yuma?
Johnny Yuma.
Call us online. You're on there. 614-843-2133-0212 if you please. And then I have unlisted. I don't have you in. Just hit number one. I know you want to talk. Yeah, but this is interesting. But so much happening. We're getting ready to go on the weekend. What you going to do this weekend, right?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking to some of the people.
No, they don't care. They're not listening.
I got a meeting tonight up at the university. I'm on the advisory council. I am on the advisory council.
Advisory?
The Fine Arts Department.
Are you related to John Kerry?
Yes, I'm related to John Kerry.
Okay.
We're going to fix things up. We're going to get things going right.
We're watching you, Russia. We're watching you.
And then tomorrow morning I work. And tomorrow night, my wife's teaching a class up in Cleveland tomorrow, and we'll probably go out for dinner tomorrow night. Nothing spectacular.
Nijasta.
Yeah.
I said, that's all right.
Next weekend, on the other hand, is a busy weekend. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so it'll be, you know, kind of fun. I got all the stuff popping up on my... pad, which has never popped up before. Maybe it's got a virus.
Oh, wow. I hope not.
I don't know.
What do you have? What kind of pad you got? Is
this
yours
is a Samsung.
Okay, you got the Samsung. I got the Apple.
Yeah, I think the Apple's better.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, this is okay, but it's... I look at other people with the Apple. They seem to get along a lot with theirs a lot better than I do. But on the other hand, you know, I've got my Amazon cloud on.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. I got the Apple cloud on there, and I got the Verizon cloud on this.
That's probably the largest portion of my net worth is the songs on my Amazon cloud. I got so many loaded on there, my wife says, what did you pay for those? You don't want to know.
You don't want to know, sweetie. No, don't ask me.
We're a lot happier.
Don't ask me, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
is good. I really enjoy some of the stuff I do with the university, but this thing, I mean, I love all these folks, but it's Friday night. I got to talk to my buddy who runs us up there and say, you know what, it's Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
But give them a plug. It's the Spotlight Theater up at the university, for
mm-hmm.
those of our local listeners, is doing a modern version of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's running this weekend, and you may want to go up there. They do. If you haven't seen a show up at the Spotlight Theater, go up and see it. They do an absolutely terrific
they
job
do,
up there.
They're a very good theater up there.
It's a little-known asset that we have in this community. We don't take advantage of it, so... you know, go up there and see what they got. They got everything up there, from music to opera to Broadway shows,
right,
to comedy.
Right.
They do a whole plethora of stuff.
Well, I'll give a shout out to my nephew Joshua William Green, who does do things up at Spotlight and the Playhouse Theater and things like that. He's a guy that you know, that's a Broadway type of guy. He's
yeah.
excellent singer, dancer, actor. And he was just in, oh, my God, what's the musical last week they did at Top Hat Productions?
Oh, Ragtime.
Ragtime.
They did Ragtime.
And
yeah.
so he was in Ragtime last week and got very good reviews in the paper.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they do a nice job.
They do very, yeah. yeah.
Now, we're really blessed with a lot of community theater. I went last weekend to Victorian Playhouse, did a thing called Sandbag Stage Left. It is one of the single hokiest plays I've ever sat through in my life, and I laughed like an idiot,
yeah.
you know, going through it. And so all I could think of, my wife is out of town, and I'm thinking, I'm down here by myself laughing like an idiot, and somebody got paid good money to write that thing.
There you go.
And it worked. I mean.
You know, you have to pay to be able to do those things,
no.
to put them on.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well,
until a few years ago.
Yeah. So it's,
My daughter was in one of the Top Hat productions. I don't know if it was Ragtime as well, but she was... She was a singing group, her and two of her friends, and they were really good, and they entertained people during the breaks and stuff out there. I enjoyed seeing that, and I enjoyed seeing her dress up, you know, and look older and everything.
I would have gone to have seen that last weekend, except I've already made arrangements to go downtown to see the
sure.
other, and you know, but I read that this is a really, they do a fabulous job with that, and that's what Top Hat Productions is known for, is her production.
Absolutely. Well, I'm godly proud of my nephew and the things he's done. He did a year of AMBLA up in New York, which is American Music and, you know, training school up there, and he's done quite a few things here, between here, Akron, Cleveland. You know, in shows and things like that. And he's pretty well known now in those circles. And not known as just being average. He's a very good, actor and singer and dancer. So I'm proud of him. And he's like 6'4". He's way taller than me.
He'll stand out in the crowd.
Yeah,
so
I say he's older.
Isn't it? The tall one.
He's taller. That was my brother's. My brother was 6'4", and he's exactly the height of his father. Maybe even has him by an inch. I'm not sure, but he's pretty limber to be, you know, to be as tall as he is, because you don't expect that out of somebody tall to be graceful to move and dance. But It's all good.
All of your folks out there, they've got community theater where you are. Go support it. It's really great. It's great for the community, and you know, and the people that do this stuff, they practice very hard. They don't get paid a dime for it most of the time. And sure, you know, it might not be Broadway, but it's a lot of fun. And they always appreciate a good audience with a little bit of applause at the end for their good work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's going on? I'm looking up here at the TV monitor over here.
Mainstream media outlets failed to report on the new IRS developments.
Oh, they didn't report that babe wants
immunity. Yeah, why does she want immunity if she's innocent and I didn't do anything wrong?
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, she probably followed directions.
Well, precisely.
Well, Jeff, I tell you what, my boy Trey Gotti put it to her plainly. No, not no, but H-E-double-hockey-stick, no, are you going to get immunity?
Right.
It don't work like that.
That's good. That's real good. I'm really glad to hear that. But the thing is, you know, to me, I think they have her anyway, because she came on and said, I'm innocent. Then she pleaded the fifth. You can't do that. I asked the lawyer, can you start testifying and then stop testifying and plead the fifth?
You know, Jeff, I honestly don't know. All I know is the arguments I heard on television about it. When you get, you know, federal immunity, something like that, it's a whole different ball game than you get with some of the stuff that goes on locally here.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I don't understand why this has not been a bigger story. This whole flap on what's going on with the IRS started with left-wing groups.
Absolutely.
Media Matters, MoveOn.org.
Mm-hmm.
Now the president's ex-campaign stuff is now a 501c4. I forget what the name is, but they're all doing political activity in a major, major way.
Right.
So they're the ones that stand to lose the most, because it's not going to be like it is now forever. Pretty soon there's going to be somebody that doesn't like them sitting in the White House. One would think that they would be coming to the forefront, screaming and yelling, saying, you know what, this is wrong. Because it's going to affect them as much as it affects us. I looked at the rules that the IRS promulgated, and I thought, you know what? Yes, that works. Let's do it.
Sure.
Let's do it. And then they looked at them, too, and the dumb...
They changed it.
Don't
say it. Don't say it, man.
Yeah, I'm not
you
say
know
it.
You'll be doing penance.
I had to be doing penance.
I don't have any holy water with me today.
they changed their minds. That's I'm, and the press is there.
We can't do that because we'll hurt the midterms, and if we don't have our liberal way, we'll never find out whether liberalism will work in the 21st century. Like it didn't work in the 20th or in any other century beside that. It's never worked, ladies and gentlemen. This is the thing you have to understand. Liberalism does not work, because somebody's always going to want to ride on somebody else's work.
Yeah, yep.
When the people came over here, the settlers came, they were all working the land together, and they almost starved.
Yes.
And why did they starve? Because some people would work, some people would not work. But when they divided up the land where each person was responsible for their own trek of land, guess what happened?
Hey, we got food.
We got food because you were motivated then to take care of your own land. That's how it works.
Kumbaya.
Then you can get buy-in from each other, because if everybody's getting attacked by the wolf, everybody's going to guard against the wolf. And the herd of elk and coming down through tearing up your corn, things and everything.
And you know what? They form governments.
They form governments.
In order to provide what they need for them to function in their business.
To function in their business.
In their business.
They didn't do it for the government to support their business.
Or worried about global warming.
Or Indian warming, anything.
You know what gets me? I love all kinds of people. But, you know, when you see the stuff go on. Remember the commercial where they showed the pollution in the river. And,
oh, yeah.
And then the Native American guy
crying,
watching the little tear.
Teardrop, yeah, yeah.
And I thought, isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? And then you look at how they live.
Come on. You better clean up your own house before you worry about the side of the road,
you know, back then, for those poor folks living in teepees out in that cold weather in the Midwest, you know.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming
exactly
from.
Exactly environmental. Well, they slaughtered a cow and they used all the parts. They didn't waste anything. Oh, okay. We don't want to either, but we're not allowed to wear fur coats anymore. So.
That's the other thing that got me the other day is I started a.
Well, my wife's got a lot of furs, by the way. That thing died for me to wear. You know, she doesn't.
You're going to get her in trouble. I put on there, I said, tell me something. Why did the, if we came from apes and things like that, I asked these environmentalists, and I got some pretty high in the community guys from the university on my Facebook the other day. And I said, why did we get rid of our hair? As cold as it is, you know, in the wintertime. How do we shed hair?
That's a good question.
And, you don't know.
I didn't, by the way. I still have all of mine.
And
that's why I wear long sleeves.
And I said this. I said, the hairiest people I know come from European Mediterranean type areas. And I said, they have a whole lot of hair, whereas I don't see that much hair on Eskimos or North American Indians. They have to wear skins. When did we start wearing skins, and when did we figure we had to start wearing skins, you know, in this history? Well, your ancestors came out of the woods in Africa 50,000 years ago, and they didn't need as much hair to live on the plains, and because they lived on the plains, they didn't have to grow hair, and they had to, but when it got cool, then they had to put animal skins on. Okay, that's a little backwards. So then they moved north. And they ran into the Neanderthals, and they mated with the Neanderthals. And when they mated with the Neanderthals, then why would if I'm more advanced than the Neanderthal, what's going to make me want to go back down there? Is it bestiality that wants me to go back down a step or two behind me and mate with the Neanderthal when I'm more of a human?
I don't know, except I know that there's people running around with Neanderthal gene with the Neanderthal genes in them.
They did that
as a small portion.
3%.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, here's the thing. Now, is that the DNA? They have Neanderthal DNA, not gene.
Right.
Okay, they have the Neanderthal DNA.
Yes.
So now, here's the thing. If you came from the same dirt that the Neanderthal came from, or you came from whatever origination point that the Neanderthal came from, wouldn't you think just possibly that there might be some very deep similarities? You know what we test when we want to test stuff for humans, like organs and things like that?
Yeah.
Pigs.
Yes.
Are we pigs?
No, we're genetically, we are genetically very close to pigs.
Okay. So that means that men are pigs then, right?
Well, that's what I'm told all the time.
I was going to say, you might want to check that statement.
There we go. Now, we finally hear from you, Diva Leffliner. How are you? I missed your voice for the past 20 minutes.
I can't hear. I had the same conversation on your page. And I'm like, how y'all got me defending Jeff Green on a liberal post?
Because you're smarter than that, and this is the thing, they have this theory of evolution that they call it's the science, and just because we have a DNA similarity between something that they found from a long time ago does not mean that we came from that. It does mean that we may have had some of the same things that made us up.
What I didn't understand was one of the gentlemen, he sounded very intelligent.
He's a professor at YSU.
Okay, he said that Well, in the conversation that I was having, he named two species that humans derive from, and he said humans and apes both derive from the species. And I asked him, I said, well, why did humans turn out the way they did and apes turn out the way they did? He couldn't give me an answer.
I don't know, but I think
here we go again, Jeff, with something that you don't know again.
Come on.
Why don't you invite a biologist that could explain your evolution instead of theorizing?
I'm inviting you, Stanley. Stanley, you tell me. I want to hear it from you.
No, it is very simple. We have a common ancestor with the apes. That means that we apes and us humans were separated. We have a common ancestor. That's it.
This time.
Yeah, but that doesn't prove that we came.
That's it. And how did we prove it? We prove it by DNA, because the number of chromosomes that you have in the DNA of a human being is the same number of chromosomes that you have in the DNA of an ape. If it wasn't the same, evolution would be false. Number one.
Okay. Oh, no, Stanley.
If it wasn't the same, and that's the only way we found out if it was the same, that was the ultimate test.
Yet we cannot breed with apes.
We have the same number of chromosomes. If we didn't have the same number of chromosomes, evolution would have been dead tomorrow.
Here's one thing. Just because you have the same number of chromosomes doesn't mean anything, Stanley.
That's a huge discovery, Jeff. That is not something that is pathetic. That is huge.
I made a statement to you. Just because, and 314, you can come in here in a minute. If just because somebody has the same amount of chromosomes does not mean
Go ahead.
I don't accept it because I say
Don't accept it. Fine, don't accept it. But okay.
I'm not fighting you.
I'm fighting of your ignorance and everything. You want us to accept your thing of saying there is no, what's happening with the weather and everything, and we're supposed to accept that. But when we come with facts to you that tell you that you're wrong, you don't accept it, period.
You don't have any facts to prove that I'm wrong.
Yes, we do.
No,
I just gave you a fact.
It's theory.
DNA is a fact,
it's
period.
Theory.
That's
it's
it.
Fact. Theory does not make something fact.
Yes, he called me
ignorant. Somebody has an idea of something.
I'm used
to it. It's not an idea. It was tested.
It is an idea.
Wait, what is a theory? Theory is not something we do.
That makes no sense.
Apes are highly intelligent.
Apes are highly intelligent, but I'm not an ape. I'm sorry.
Well, that's because we are not the same. Jeff, you ever thought about that? I tell people all the time, all black people are not the same. Some of them have a history located in the Bible. Some of them have a history in the chronological history of the earth. We are not the same.
Oh, I agree with that 1,000% because I believe some things that everybody else probably doesn't. But
absolutely.
I believe that there was a pre-Adamic race of people here on earth that got destroyed. As the Bible describes in the prophets, Ezekiel, et cetera, et cetera. But that's my belief. But
right, that's not my belief. So,
understood.
People have
I
to
ain't
get
mad
to understand. Yeah, people have to get to understand the Rex. See, all we need to do is just respect people. That's it. Respect.
Well,
if you want to be on whatever, you just be, people just respect
yeah.
people. That's all you got to do.
But for the record, I tell Stanley, I didn't come from the ape. I came from something different. I was made
but that's
directly.
Your belief, Jeff. That's your belief.
It's not just my belief, because I can prove that there is
well,
a God.
Well, he's allowed to have his belief, Stanley.
He's allowed to have his belief.
So what are you arguing about?
I have no problem.
Stanley,
he is allowed. Go ahead.
I can prove to you that the people I come from were not evolved from any apes. And I can prove it to you quite distinctly.
Boy.
Because
wow.
I can, you know how I prove it? You know how? Technology.
What?
Tech.
Please, technology doesn't prove that you didn't come from an egg, period.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't, Jeff.
Stanley, why are you trying to tell
the man he comes from apes and he say he does not?
Okay.
And that's why I'm telling
this man that doesn't know everything in evolution, bring a biologist, a PhD in biology, to explain you guys the truth.
Because not so blind. You know what? For a marine biologist, he can come and talk to me all day long. I know better because I know what
okay,
I know.
Okay, so
well.
Wait.
And
so
I know
Jeff,
his.
Wait a minute.
I know his theory. I know his theory because I've listened and sat up under his theory. And I don't buy his theory because he makes huge jumps to get to where he wants.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying he makes huge jumps to get there.
Okay, wait up, Jeff. So you, as a person who didn't study the same thing that he did, he spent his life studying this. This is
I don't care.
Wait, you don't care. So why should I care about what you have to say?
You don't have to. I'm not asking you to.
Well, you should
respect what he has to say.
Why
should I care when you're coming with some stuff and saying, oh, I've read this and I know this and everything. I should follow your knowledge and everything. Maybe you are true. Maybe you should follow people who know it more. There's people who know more things than you do, Jeff. Period.
Not So Blind Mike knows more than me. Come on in, Not So Blind.
I'm just going to – all I'm with Alex on this one or Pianchi. I can't tell who that is. You know, Stanley
Pianchi.
And Jeff, thank you, Pianchi, the two of you just need to just respect the fact that you have different beliefs and move on from this point, because this is the kind of stuff. This is why I don't hang out at sports bars on Monday night during football. You could have one of these arguments about sex, politics, or religion any given night of the week at a bar. It's pointless. You're not going to convince each other. Just love each other as you are. Accept each other as you are.
Precisely the point.
You have differences in opinion.
But he attacked
and I
me.
I agree with what you're saying, Pianchi, but when one other person is saying that God did this and everything, I'm sorry, I have a problem with this. When you're telling me that you have a problem of another human deciding to get married man to man or woman to woman because your Bible said so, I have a problem with you.
And I agree with you, Stanley. Sometimes people should be more descriptive rather than trying to throw a general blanket on everybody. Because when you throw a general blanket on everybody, they do have a problem. So people,
I
when they give their ideology, they should be more descriptive and say we rather than all of us.
I need to ask a question of everybody, and we're at the end of our day, so it's not going to get too far. But if we can build something thousands of years ago that we can't build today, and we can have technologies that we had way back when, and we knew much about the stars before the modern day people that could see up into the stars could know or understand, tell me, how does that fit in your evolution? Because obviously you evolved downward at a certain time to where you don't have those knowledges anymore, and you can't even build let me finish it. You can't build the pyramids now. Even now you can't build them.
Wait. Do you think that people back in the day could build what we have right now? They can't build an automobile. Nobody
did.
There was nobody who could build a plane in that time, period.
That's not true.
Who was the person who invented planes? I'm sorry, nobody invented planes.
Can I finish?
Many people try.
Okay,
but
can I talk to you?
The point with modern technology is we progress. So if we couldn't build a plane back then, we should be able to progressively build one now. But why is it that we built pyramids back then, but we can't copy that and build a pyramid
and
every
how,
day back
and how
then.
Did you carry
that,
those
progression,
those,
not regression.
You,
how
we
did
have
you quarry,
the technology
wait a minute,
to build.
How did you quarry rock from 30 miles away and bring it back to a state and put it perfectly in position without an issue? You didn't do it with slaves. That's just the most asinine thing, period. They had technologies that you cannot possibly get to today. And I'm telling you that there is a reason why.
Let me explain to you what y'all saying. It's kind of right, but it's not right. We can build with the technology we had today. The question is how did they do it without the technology that we have?
They had super technology above what we have today.
They didn't have the cranes, the tower cranes, the hydraulic, so and so. If we were to do it today, that's what we would use. The Japanese tried to do it, trying to mimic the technology that they had, they would have had then, and they weren't able to do it. So
we're not.
I'm sorry, if I were to bring up just 10% of what we did now, in the 2000 year, they were considered me God.
Haven't you seen the commercial that shows how the pyramids were built?
Uh-oh.
It was a mistake. They said that I think it's the Geico commercial.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be squares, so the guy screwed up and built pyramids.
Now, when you go in those marvelous things, what's on the outside don't tell the story. What you have to go in and look at those 50-ton stones, blocks,
yeah,
that doesn't have any mortar joints. That is where the awe comes
but
in.
But they have a seal, Pianchi. They have a very, very high pressure, high energy seal on those bricks that nobody can explain how they did that. Now, I know
they used bitumen is what they used.
Yeah, but how did they heat it up to do what it had to do? And that's
it was coming
point.
Out of the ground. It was coming out of the ground in many cases.
No, Pianchi. That's not how that happened.
I think we're going to discover someday that it's a blend of the two theories.
And then when we're going to discover, what are you going to say?
There was a catastrophic event in the past that wiped out a far more advanced human race than we are.
Oh, please,
and
I don't agree
what
with
we're
that.
Find out.
It's never been proven.
Well, you know,
family,
they used to think here in North America. They were thinking in North America here that there was nothing here prior to the Vikings. And then they went back a little bit more to the Africans. And now the Native Americans can trace certain things back to 11,000 years ago before there were pyramids.
Do we have any proof of the flood? We do.
There's a lot of archaeology,
and
now they're fighting. Wait a minute.
What proof do you have for Noah's Ark?
They're fighting.
Really?
We're not talking about Noah's Ark. He didn't say anything about that.
Go back 20,000 years.
Yeah,
Mark, hold on.
What he's talking about. That's the huge
okay,
no.
Okay, go ahead, Mark.
My family didn't come from apes. My family didn't come from spacemen. My family came from Suleiman and Abruzzi.
There you go.
And they brought with them Ostia cookies. That's a sign of an advanced civilization.
There you go.
Mine brought peach cobbler.
Nachevo. That's all.
Mine bought peach cobbler, and in about 2 weeks, I would have me some deer sausage.
Not so blind. I agree with you more so than I agree with the others because
and I'm trying to stay away from the religious point of view because that does end up
sure.
in an argument. But here's one fact that they can't explain. It's generally accepted in the scientific community that dinosaurs were gone by the time man walked the earth. There are finding in places around the world, Stanley, in the fossil record, a dinosaur footprint on top of a human footprint. That happened
in
the Southwest
true.
Just about 5-6 years ago. You can look that one up.
But that's
down.
No proof.
Now, how do you get a dinosaur footprint fossilized on top of a human footprint if humans didn't come till after the dinosaurs?
There's no proof.
There's a lot we just don't know. And for either of you to take such an intractable stand, rest if you're comfortable with the information in your own head and your own heart, go to sleep tonight, you're okay. But don't get in these useless arguments because you know what? 100 years from now, if they heard this recording, they'd be laughing at all of us because how ignorant we were to the way it really is because they're going to discover more next year.
Yeah, NASA just found 715 planets.
We're down to 8 planets now.
Well, yeah, we're down to 8 because Pluto is not a planet.
Yeah,
but we got to go, y'all, because they're coming on with the news and top of the hour. We'll see you Monday morning. We'll talk about
these. Are you going to leave the phone so we can
I'll leave it open for you, and you go ahead and do your thing, and I'll let you
have
let
a
you
nice
do
weekend, Jeff.
Everybody do your thing. Yes, sir. We love you. We love everybody. You guys have fun in the chat room, and we'll see you Monday.
Tell your sister she got a nice, beautiful voice.
There you go. Hey, Pianchi, I got paid a compliment. Stanley thought I was you before when I made an intelligent comment.
Oh, I was going to tell you the same thing.
So I got paid a compliment. No, it's just that, like, okay, you know, when people hold the belief, they believe what they believe. And what people don't understand is 90% of everything we believe to be true is nothing more than an opinion that we formed somewhere along the way. Only 10% is documentable fact. And so to get in these opinion arguments is just pointless.
Yeah, but most of the stuff that people argue makes a difference
philosophy of life. If one person is telling me that, look, I have to respect the Bible for this law. I'm going to look
Stanley,
at you and say, you better not be a senator. You better not be somebody politic. You better not be in anything.
but his counterbelief is not a personal attack, Stanley.
Yes, it is, because then you judge your fate, your
and
your
what, who cares?
The Bible.
Right now, if he was thinking you were the ugliest man on earth and you smelled, if that's what he's thinking right now, how does that change what you're going to do the next hour
no,
with your life?
No, it doesn't change anything, but it changed the law. If you decide, I'm going to follow the Bible, and the Bible tells me that homosexual is so bad in everything, then it does make a difference.
Well, you know, the point is this, is that the arguments that we get into, what we use to substantiate our argument is basically somebody else's opinion off of their books that they published.
Exactly.
And
that's
time has went
problem.
By, we have found authors to retract what they said, because at the time that they made the discovery, they done the research, the tools that they had was antiquated compared to the rebuttals tools that they have today. Information evolves.
Evolved, exactly, and it changed. So, and you're still coming with the Bible? You're still coming with a $2,000, $2,000 document,
and you know something
to
else.
Justify your
the
your,
human
your,
mind.
Please.
The human mind is a miraculous thing. It's full of strengths and a lot of weaknesses, the human being is based on emotions. Whether those emotions are fear, or whether those emotions are courage, and fear is very crippling. It can put people into a position where they just cannot let go
exactly.
what they think is protecting them.
Exactly.
And you
exactly.
have to respect
exactly.
them for that.
Yeah. Hey, guys, have a great weekend. Duty call.
You too.
I'll talk to you guys. Yeah. Just daily, lower your blood pressure. You'll live longer. You'll outlive Jeff, and that's how you'll win. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend. Yeah, man, because, man.
Yeah, Stanley, I get tired. You know, like the Hebrew Israelites, I tell them, and which really does put them in a position. I say, you know, you are black. I consider myself as an adjusted black African. We are different. Your history begins in the Bible. Mine begin in the chronological history of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
They can't
and it
say
goes
nothing.
A different thing because they, I'm sorry, they're doing debates over the law and saying we have to follow the law of the Bible. And I'm like, what? This is not the law of the Bible here in the United States. This is the law of the land. Sorry.
And to say, sorry. And when they say that the Bible is a fallacy of the word that they use that is fallible. That means
fallible.
That everything in it is true. Well, I can go in and point out a lot of things that's not true, and it's not historical true, and it's not scientifically accurate. Then if you can find one, well, then you show them two. Well, how many do you need to show? If the thing was infallible, that means that what God put in it is true. You mean to tell me God made a mistake? Well.
Yeah, man, and especially when I saw, again, the movie 12 Years of Slavery. That movie, man,
yeah.
Oh, my God, that movie fucking showed so many things. I think every black person should see that movie. I don't understand why black people still believe in the Bible, because the person who's
oh, yeah.
the crap out of a black person and a white person is asking, how could you do that? What do you justify? The Bible says that it's okay. They're my slaves. They're my property.
Hey, Stanley.
I could do Stanley. Whatever I want with them.
Stanley. You know, you do realize that 12 Years a Slave may be it's a movie, but there's a lot in that movie that was put there just so it can be inflammatory. Okay.
Well,
I
read the book also,
so
and
have,
there's many things
yeah,
in the movie that
but
was
the thing
true.
About it is, what you've got to understand is this is not the 1860s or the 1800s. This is the 2000s. We're in the 21st century. Whatever happened back then, I don't care what people say, you know, whatever happened back then is history. Now you can't just blame slavery on the Bible because slavery existed long before that. You have slavery in the Quran as well. So,
okay.
Be careful.
But you know one thing
that
12 Years a Slave did show, it shows how the slaves got the Bible. Because
yeah.
the master was there reading. But a more important thing that I think that it shows is the money that was made off slaves. When
yeah.
it talked about how the one lady, I can't think of her name, Patsy, how Patsy was producing over 500 pounds of cotton 28. A day.
28, yeah, cousin.
and the average was 200. That means that Patsy was produced at that time in 1839. It was after, what's his name, Davis. Davis created a artificial phantom in cotton by burning over 12 million bales of cotton, I think, in Savannah. I'm not sure. And that created a shortage to the supply to Britain. But, see, Britain had been hoarding cotton. But look, cotton price immediately went up from about 10 cents a pound to $1.39 a pound. So how much was Patsy producing daily for her slave master? And how much was she producing a year? Over $300,000 a year. And how much did she cost? About $500,
$600?
Yep. That there is the thing that people should be thinking about.
Yeah,
and then here's another point. Who taxed? There was a tax on raw cotton that went to the United States government. Now, those are two points that people who's hollering about reparations and unfairness, you know, we always hear people arguing, well, I wasn't living. My parents didn't own slaves. My ancestors didn't own. Well, that's one thing. But the government that we had today is the same government we had then who reaped unjustly off of the efforts and the free labor of slavery.
And to come back to what, yeah, I don't remember the name. To come back to what you said about, well, you know, we're not in the 1800s. I'm sorry. If you're telling me that this book is supposed to be the book of God, the law and moral of this, I have more moral as a human being right now than the Bible, period. I know that owning up another human being is wrong, period. There's nothing that justifies that. So imagine if the Bible would have said, Jesus would have come and one of his commandments and said, owning up another human being is wrong.
You know, the state of Mississippi.
Is that the only argument you have?
That's a major argument because
slavery?
If you have the moral book of the God, and I'm telling you that I have more morality than your God, you have a problem. If I'm showing you that in your own book, it's telling that slavery is okay. I'm telling you that in your own book, it's saying that owning up another human being as property is okay, and you're saying that's nothing, then you are really blind.
Or is it a slave obey your master, but also tell the wife she must obey her husband too. But you know, another point, the state of Mississippi, its gross domestic product, GDP, was larger than the entire United States when cotton was king. That is something awesome right there.
So if you want to be blind, be blind. But don't be blind by read your Bible and everything. Don't be blind like this. When I'm telling you could beat up somebody to the point of you own that person for life, and that was if you were a Jew. If you were a Jew, you had that person for 7 years. If you were not a Jew, you were done as a slave. You were my property for the rest of your life, period.
You know, the Romans were like that too as well, you know.
I don't care about the Roman. It was like that. I'm talking about your book. I don't care about the
what
Romans.
About
Don't start divinating. Just go to that thing that I'm telling you.
You know
the
what,
Bible
man?
Is saying
let me,
that slavery is okay. The Bible is saying that you could beat up somebody and kill them in court. The Bible is saying that.
Let me tell you something, Stanley. I don't know what your problem is with the Bible.
There's no problem with this. I just want you to be honest about this. Like you're honest
your
about
issue
the discussion.
Is, man,
go ahead. Go ahead.
For some reason, you have a unbelievable hate for
no,
Bible
I don't. Why are you going there? I don't have an unbelievable hate. I'm bringing. Am I saying things that are not true? Wait. Before you say things that I have an unbelievable hate, am I saying things that are not true on the Bible?
Yes, or no?
Yes,
you are. There's some things you are.
What am I saying that's
I'm
not true? Is it not true? I'm asking you the question because you are a person who studied that. I'm asking you the question. Is it not true? Can I ask the question? Because you're telling me. Can I ask the question? I'm asking you the question. Does not the Bible say that you could own a Jew for 7 years as a slave? Yes or no?
You can own a Jew for 7 years? No, the Bible doesn't say that.
Yes, if you own up, if slavery is slavery taught in the Bible? Let's go from the basics.
Have you, you know what a bond slave
is? Is the Bible, does the Bible talk about slavery, yes or no? I don't need
the Bible
does
mention about slavery, yeah.
Okay, first. Okay, so it does talk. So I'm not saying that. What does the Bible say about slavery when it comes to the Jews and when it comes to any other human being? Does it not say that when you're a Jew, you could own that person?
Wait.
I want to make sure because I'm telling you exactly word for word what it's saying. It's saying for the Jew. I just want to make sure. I want you to listen and then come to me, whatever you have to say. I'll listen to what you have to say. It says for the Jew that you own that person for 7 years. And it doesn't say for any other human being, you own that person for any time of you want. And as a slave, you are property. Does not
the
Bible
say
that?
The Bible does not say that, Stanley. The Bible does not say that.
Oh, the Bible doesn't say that? You want me to quote the thing? You want me to go get the quotation?
Shut up for a minute.
Yeah, get the quotation.
Okay, let me go get the quotation. Go ahead.
Now, here's what you got. Here's what you're talking about. If you're talking, you're referring to a book that refers to a Jew. Okay, you're talking about
I'm not referring. I'm referring to the Bible. I'm going exactly to the Bible. I'm not going to anything else.
Stanley,
I'm not going to the Bible.
I'm not doing this today.
Hey, South Carolina, you have a lot of churches in your neighborhood.
No,
Go ahead.
You know,
go ahead.
In St. Louis, you got so many churches in the black community. Me and my grandson was driving, and I said, you know, let's count the churches from Del Mar to Page and from Taylor to Newstead. And, man, we're talking about four blocks wide and maybe five blocks long. And down, in and out, across, down, in and out, we counted like 34 churches, man. Can you believe that? 34 churches. Now, that's detrimental to the community, especially the schools, because they don't pay any property taxes where money will end up supporting the public school system. Go ahead, Kelly. I'm sorry.
Okay, let me go to the Exodus 21:2-6. If you buy a Hebrew Jew, he is to serve for only 6 years. Send him free in the 7th year, and he will own you nothing for his freedom.
What Bible
said.
Is that?
You,
King
wait,
James
wait.
Version?
Any version. You could take any version.
No, wait a minute. You can't use any
version.
You got they use the King James Version.
Yes,
King James Version don't mention anything about no Hebrews.
Well,
like that.
Go there. Go to Exodus 21:2-6. If he is,
Exodus 21.
Yes, 2. Verse 2 to 6.
Exodus 21, verses 2 through 6. Exodus says, you're right. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. But you know where that's coming from? That's coming from something that was in culture, in different people's traditions, that if you did serve like that. But go ahead, understand. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife should go out with him.
December. Right.
So I just gave you the verse of what it says. It does say that.
If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's. And he shall go out by himself. So that means that the wife and children shall stay.
Yeah. And that means that was basically a way to let the Hebrew slave stay, because you're not going to leave your wife and your kid and say, see you, I've done my 7 years, I want to go. You're not going to do that. You're going to say, fine, I'm going to stay. And when you wanted to stay, you had to go in front of everybody in the master, and the master would publicly pierce your ear in front of everybody, and that slave would be, your Hebrew slave would be yours forever. It's written.
You're right.
So.
That's a good point there, Stanley.
What am I inventing that's not true?
He's going to keep the son, he's going to keep the wife and the children until the husband, you can go. And he would not leave, so that way they keep them all forever.
Of course, yeah.
You're trying to make a point with the Old Testament scripture And you're talking about a whole different culture, a whole different time, family.
No, I'm no talking about the Bible that's basically said okay with slavery.
Let me finish. You're talking and you're using things out of context, and they don't apply. So
how am I using things out of context? I just read to you. Okay, go ahead.
It's out of context, family. You have to
How is it out of context? I just read you the passage. How is it out of context?
Read the three verses in front of that and read the three verses.
Okay, even if I read the three verses in front of that or I read it before that, it's written. Why are you defending this?
Before that,
this?
It's talking about the law of the altar. After that, it's talking about the law concerning violence.
Exactly. So, it's not talking about this. It's talking about what I just said. Why are you defending this? It's not out of context. I'm reading exactly what it's saying. It's not out of context. I'm not inventing this.
If a man sells his daughter to be a female servant, this is different. She shall not go out as the male servants do. If she does not please her master, who has betrothed her to himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her.
Exactly. So what does that justify when you read this? This is the Bible. I'm not talking about this. And go to Exodus 20 to 21.
Listen.
Damn, this sounds like this is proposing lesbianism.
You're coming. No. You're talking about. It's talking about the law, Stanley.
Yes.
But check this out. Hang on. This is if a man sells his daughter to a female servant, he shall not go out as the male servant do.
As a female servant.
If he sells his daughter to a female servant, to be a female servant, okay.
Right.
If a man sells his daughter to be a female servant, she shall not go out as the male servant do. So that means that she cannot go out because as the male servant was given the opportunity to go out and leave his wife and children.
No, if you're talking about servant, not slave. There's a difference.
You're talking about that? Okay, go to Exodus. If you think it is that, okay, go to Exodus 20. Same thing, 20 to 21. Read that, please, because that's another thing that's going to shock you. That's not exactly what you're saying. Go ahead.
Exodus what?
21. Exodus 21, same thing, verse 20 to 21. It tells you exactly what does it consider a slave.
So he is his property.
No, read it completely because he thinks that I'm lying. Go from the 20 to 21.
If a man beats his male or female servant with a rod so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his property.
What did I say? A slave is not the same thing. Oh, yeah, you are my property.
Hey,
you are my property. I could do whatever I want to do with you until I don't kill you.
Family, you know when the Bible was written? It's a different time.
I don't care when the Bible was written.
Okay.
Are you going to defend that? Are you going to defend that?
Yeah, I'm going to defend it.
How are you going to defend that?
Because,
I just said to you that
you said it's not the same thing as slavery. You look at the Quran, you'll see the same thing.
I'm not looking at the Quran. Why are you going to the Quran? I'm looking
at
the Bible. Why are you going to other texts? I'm going to what
you
know is the Bible. Don't put me the Quran. Don't put me other texts.
If you are an atheist, you hate.
No, I didn't look the Quran. I'm looking at the Bible. I didn't study the Quran. I used to be a Christian. So why are you deviating? I'm going exactly with the Bible. Follow this, and then we'll go. If I study the Quran, that's a different thing. Don't try to change the subject. Why are you trying to change the subject? I just send you two verses that he read that says exactly what I said, and you said no. You're not saying this. You're not being honest. Hello.
The law of the Sabbaths. This is crop rotation here.
Why are you lying? Why are you defending this? I did exactly what you said. You said it's not true. I just read it to you. He read it for you, and he said exactly what I said. And he tells you that a slave is a property. What else do you need?
And I didn't have that mark, Sandler. You just turned me on to something.
You know? And if you want to be turned on, go to Ephesians and don't go with Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Go to Ephesians 6, verse 5. You'll know exactly what Jesus said. Go there.
2 Drew 6. Hang on, I'm marking this.
Because he's going to come and say, oh, it's the New Testament. Okay, let's go to the New Testament and see what they said. That's why Christians don't even read their Bible. I swear you don't even know what's in that book.
Where are these at? Is she out going to community college?
I don't know.
Pulling herself up by her bootstraps, her stockings. What's that reference number?
Ephesians 6.
Ephesus.
Verse 5.
Where in the heck is Ephesus at?
Or if you don't want to Ephesus, go to Luke 12:47-48. If you can't find Ephesus, go to Luke. That goes more to what Jesus says about, he talks about the beating.
Luke
12:47-48. He tells exactly
Luke
12:47-48. Yeah, and read it.
And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few, for every one to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more.
And that's Jesus. That's Jesus talking.
Beating the hell out of people, man.
Beat the hell out of this person. So,
that's a good point, Stanley.
So,
I didn't have that mark neither, Stanley.
Yeah, and go to Timothy 6, verse 1 to 2 also. It tells you exactly what Christian is about slavery. Timothy 6, verse 1 to 2.
And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare, shall be beaten with many stripes. Then it's okay. So we just did 21. We did 12, 20, 20, and 47, right?
Yeah. Luke 12, 47. Luke 12, 47, 48. And now go to Timothy. Go to Timothy 6.
What was the other one there on Luke?
No, that's the only one. The Luke, it's 12:47-48, and the next one I want you to read is the Timothy one, Timothy 6:1-2. It tells exactly what Christians should think about slavery.
Hang on, I got to put a tag on this one. Slavery beaten. You should see this little Bible guy. It's got tabs sticking out all over the place.
Oh, it's good. It's good. That's what I do. I have all the documents. I have files and files of stuff that I have, all different folders, slavery, this and that. So when people say, you don't know what you're talking about, I say, okay, let me go get to my computer.
And this is a new tip. What was in Ephesus?
Oh, Ephesus is Ephesus 6, verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
It says, slave obey your earthly master with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you will serve Christ. So You are serving them. You should serve them as much as you're serving Christ as a slave. You should obey your master no matter what, and you should have respect and fear for him.
Yep, that's what the slave masters did at the plantation. What was Timothy now?
Timothy 6:1-2.
Yep.
Christian who are slaves should give their master full respect so that the name of God and his teaching will not be shamed. If your master is a Christian, that is no excuse for being disrespectful. You should work all the harder because you are helping another believer by your effort. Teach these through Timothy and encourage everyone to obey them.
Check out. Okay, now what was that on Timothy again?
Timothy what? 6, verse 1-2.
I don't have no Timothy. You're talking about 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy, sorry.
Yeah, I got that one. Timothy 6, verses 1 and 2.
Yes.
All right, go to Titus. Titus 2, 9 and 10. It says, exhort bonds and servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back.
Yeah.
Can't talk
exactly.
Back. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Our Savior, they're talking about Jesus.
Exactly.
Or ain't that something?
I'm telling you, the Christian don't even know what's in the Bible. That's why it's a crazy thought. When I tell them, do you know your Bible? Oh, yes, I do. Okay, explain me about slavery. You're going, there's no slavery, Stanley. Really? You don't even know your Bible.
What was that 1 Timothy again, 10, 6, and what?
Verse 1-2.
Oh, there it is. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved, teach and exhort these things. And you know the funny thing about that person can't say, well, you're taking that out of content. Because when you go above that, they talk about honor to elders. And when you go below that, they talk about error and greed.
Exactly.
This is honor masters.
Yeah. And that's the Bible, which is supposed to be the moral code of God. I have more morality than that. I know owning up and knowing me is wrong, period. I don't need to.
The word
know
of
that.
God.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the word of God. Don't you think that the word of God should have said owning up and knowing me being is wrong? No? I'm more intelligent than
good
God.
Good research.
Yeah.
Good research, man.
Yeah.
Good research.
Yeah, I have a folder with all the sections. So when people say no,
I got about 120 pages in a document, Word document.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have my Word document, and I just take it out and just say, here you go, here you go, here you go. And they say exactly what you say. Oh, you read it out of context. No, I didn't. What out of context do you need?
Jeff would tell me about in the annals in the by Huckleberry Finn that they didn't mention God. The hell they didn't mention God in there. I pointed that out. It don't make any scientific proof. If the whole earth was covered with water, including mountains which the tops are over 30,000 feet above sea level, where in the hell all that water go?
Yeah. You know. And if all that water came to that point and everything, how did the fish survive? How did all the other...
The Earth itself is only, 25,000 miles in diameter? The Earth is 25,000 miles in diameter. Then you're going to talk about you're going to have water that's going to cover all the Earth, including the mountains. Some mountain ranges is over 33,000 feet above sea level. Well... That's more volume of water to fill up the earth.
Yeah, and what happened with all that? Yeah, and what happened with all that water once it was done? What happened
right.
to all that water?
And you still got volcanoes today that are emitting lava. So that means that the center of the earth, because of the tremendous pressure, is still a molten lava. So the water sure in the hell ain't down there.
Yeah. And how come any other people didn't talk about this? Say, oh, my God, I think we're going to get killed by this. How come nobody wrote this? Nobody. Except the Jew.
Yeah, so where in the hell did all that water go?
So when you bring that, they say, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about. It's out of context. So, okay. The whole story doesn't make
sense. And then they talk about how the days was divided. That mean that are you saying that the days all mixed up like a suit? The night and day was once mixed up like a suit. You know, one thing you can tell that they didn't know anything about the movement of planets, because they thought that the sun actually rotated around the earth rather than the earth rotating around the sun.
Yeah, true that. Oh, so many.
Then they talk
Bible.
About the Tower of Babel that's going to reach the heavens. Well, hell, when I do international flight and we're traveling at 33,000 feet, 35,000 feet, you know what the outside temperature is?
Yeah.
Outside temperature is about 30 below zero.
Yeah.
So how the hell are they going to build a tower to heaven, the Tower of Babel, and they're using mortar for the stones that's the mortar is water-based. Hell, it would freeze, and the people would freeze.
And it's not to offend God. So let's see. That was the tallest building and everything. We have the tallest building in the world. How come God is not offended now?
And also, where did they get the piers, the pilings, to drive down into the rock, the bedrock, in order to support that heavy structure? So the more blocks that you put on top of each other, I mean, it would sink into the ground more and more.
Yeah, because
that don't
you need
make
to have
any
a,
damn sense.
You need to have a very strong foundation. It's your foundation that makes the building. The stronger your
yes.
foundation, the higher you could go. If you don't have a strong foundation, you can't go higher with the house.
It that's would topple it takes, over.
Yeah, that's why it takes so much years. When people say, "Oh my God, there's a new." You entire building that's coming, or this is coming, and they say it's not even built yet because they're building the foundation. There's no strong foundation, it's going to collapse.
And how about Noah's Ark?
Oh.
If Noah put every animal and every creature that was on Earth, something which is only native to North America, it would have took them 1,000 years to crawl to that ark
to
get on.
To go there. And you're going to tell me you took every two species. You know how many species there is as human beings?
Right. Who on board? And he only had so many people, it wouldn't have been enough people just to shovel the shit and throw it overboard that those animals was producing.
Yeah, how are you going to get the food? What? Suddenly the lion's not going to eat the zebra because, oh, God, stop that. So how they got the food?
And not to mention, how about the dinosaurs? How about the Tyrannosaurus Rex? You going to calm that sucker down and be on a boat for 40 days? I don't think so.
I think so. You know, elephant and giraffe and things like that. How wide is that boat? That must be the biggest.
Well, wait a minute.
Boat.
If you convert the dimensions that's given, the boat was only about the length of a football field. And, hell, you can't put all them animals on a football field today.
Well, no, you can't. You can't. You can't put all the animals together today. You go get all the animals, two species of everything together. Good luck.
And a boat that size would have to have a keel to keep it from toppling over that extends down damn near two-thirds of the football field. So why in the hell did they do that?
They say that it's not even a normal boat. They said it was a round boat. That's what the latest founding was like. They said that the Jews says it's
well, you
wrong.
Know, another point they say when I ask them, and of course you know what, when you look at maps that the people drew back in those days, they thought that their world was nothing more than a small area, and they thought that if you went so far, you could stick your head through this containment into someplace else. Exactly what they thought, because they drew pictures of it. Like it was a dome over this small area.
Yeah, if you would go to turn there.
But
yeah,
case in point.
Fall, yeah, you would fall, you would go to heaven or hell. That's what they would think.
Right. I tell people, I say, well, hell, y'all was on a flat earth theory. And they say they didn't know that the world was round. And then they say, yes, they did know that the world was round because they mentioned here about a circle. And I say, well, hell, the earth is a sphere. It is not a circle.
They don't know. I'm telling you, they don't know the Bible. You just heard it. He said, I'm not quoting it out of context. I don't know what I'm saying. The Bible doesn't say that, even though you said it.
You travel so far in the ocean, you will fall off.
Exactly.
But I tell you what, Stanley, if you ever stood on the ocean, on the shore, and watched a big ship, those ships that be carrying cargo,
mm-hmm.
those ships, the further out they go, you can see the whole ship, then it just starts, then you can only see half of it, then you can see just the very tip of it, and all of a sudden it does disappear. That is a sight to see, especially
wow.
when it's right up on you.
Well, and that's something I have to say. Anyways.
And anybody that's standing on the shore, if they stare straight out and you look out the corner of each eye, you can see the rounding of the horizon to let you know that the planet is round.
Yeah, I know.
And not flat.
But you didn't want to see that. It's like, we don't know your Bible. You don't know what you're saying. So that's the problem I have. So when you're telling me, yeah, you have to be respectable and you have to go, yes, I wish. But when I bring them facts, they don't want to even listen.
Yeah, that stuff don't make no sense.
Yeah, let me go get the Bible and see if he's saying what he's saying. Imagine if I would have said that it was wrong.
And to be truthful with you too, Stanley, if you go back and look at Homo sapiens, and before him you had Homo erectus, then before that you had Homo habilis. If you look at those skulls and do a reproduction of what the image looked like when it had skin on it, heck, you're starting to get closer and closer and closer to the resemblance of monkeys and apes.
Yeah. But they don't want to see it, because if they start seeing that, and if evolution is accepted, then where is God? That takes out the whole Genesis thing. If you're telling me evolution is true, then you can't believe in Genesis. Because God didn't say that he invented Adam and Eve. Well, we don't have the proof of Adam and Eve. So then you destroy the whole Bible. And that's what they're scared of.
Then in Genesis, there's two creation stories. Because one, he says he created the animals first. And the other, you say he created man and woman first.
Exactly. And if you take out the Genesis thing, then you take out the whole thing of why did Jesus sacrifice himself? He sacrificed himself because we were fallen people. It was all because of Genesis. And if you take out Genesis, then you come back to them and say, why did Jesus kill himself for? They all say it comes back to the fallen. If you take out Genesis, you're done. No Genesis, no Bible. Done.
And Jesus could have walked off any time when he was being tried. The man gave him an opportunity to. No, he stood there.
He said, no, I am the person, I am the he must have thought that it was crazy. He was like, man, this is a crazy person. Let's just kill him.
Then they always talk about pharaohs. Well, which pharaoh?
They talk
about Herod.
Know.
Well, which Herod? There was many Herods. Herod is a title. Pharaoh was a title, a Hebrew title. That they never called themselves pharaohs.
Yeah. That I want to study. When was the Jew captured by the Egyptian? And I want to know what happened during that. Do you have any book or things I could read about that could tell us historically what happened during that time?
Well, Judaism came after what you call Yahwehism. I don't even use the word Hebrew. The Hebrew was a language. The Yahwehists was a people that created a religion for themselves, and that God was called Yahweh. I tell you, there's a book you want to get. Get the book called The Rescue of Jerusalem.
The Rescue of Jerusalem. Let me just write
it
down.
Read that book.
Okay. That's because I want to know, because that's the whole thing. Which pharaoh did it? Don't you think that Egyptian would have read, oh, you know what, we got attacked by the Jews, I got liberated, and some president.
The reason I like that book is because the guy is about as unbiased as possible. What he is telling the story, because he adopted a black child.
Okay.
And he noticed that the stories that he was, history story that he was telling his, reading to both his white son and his black adopted male child, that the black child didn't have no interest in it. So what he done, he started searching for content that the black child would have interest in. Then he discovers about the Cushites. Well, the Cushites are real live people. It was the Cushites that marched 1,200 miles to defeat the Assyrians as they was coming down upon to destroy Jerusalem. They was going there to rescue their kith and kin. Now, who was their kith and kin? Was it the Yahwehs who would have been breakaways from the original culture? I'm saying that's probably what it was, because they surely wouldn't have been marching to rescue any Hittites, because they hated the Hittites. They surely wouldn't have been marching to rescue the well, they wouldn't have been marching to rescue anybody white, a non-black, should I say, because their God was against intermingling and also what do you call it? Their God was against, their God wanted his pure soul of child. If you read the story about Hatshepsut. So, in 2 Kings 19:35, they say that this Assyrian army, which was led by Sennacherib, was destroyed by an angel of the Lord. Well, that's not true. It was the Cushites led by Shabaka and Shabiko, who was Taharka's sons, children, that defeated the Assyrians. And that's historical. At that time, Yahweh was a local god of no importance. And another point, the Assyrians' god was Yashur. All groups had their own god in the form of an ark, which is nothing but a box that had a picture of their god or whatever symbol they wanted, that led them into battles against other nations or other armies. Yahweh got his ass whipped. He got his butt whipped, if that's the case. When the Assyrians got whooped, their God got his butt whooped. That's the way it was.
Yeah, and if God is so powerful, how come God didn't defeat them when before they got
there
captured?
There you go,
by
Stanley.
By
you
by
are
Egyptians.
Absolutely right. They had to have something
have
to lead
God
them in the battle.
Almighty, I love
you
my
know
people.
What God beat at them? Amun. That was the god of the Cushites, had been for thousands of years. Even when you go back over 1,800 years before that particular battle with what they call Ramesses, his name wasn't Ramesses. And see, another thing, them Africans, in their name was the god that they were serving. Amenhotep, Amen. Ursa Maat Ra, Ra was the god that they were serving. In their name was the god that they were serving, the deity that they were serving. And when he went and took four divisions, one division was called Ptah, the other was called Amen, the other was called Haru, and the other was called Ra. He took four, and each division was anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 men strong. He took four divisions all the way over to what's known as the river. What's the name of that river? I can't think of the name of the river. It was called the Battle of Kadesh, where he defeated the Hittites. Hittites' territory is present-day Turkey. That's a long damn march, man, to be taking four divisions of troops. One had to ask, how in the hell did you maintain your supply routes? How did you maintain your maintenance on your chariots and keep the horses fed and all that stuff? But they did.
It's like when even when I go to Christian and say, do you know how the New Testament was done? I'm like, well, what do you mean? It said, Luke, Mark, John, and Matthew is not even, we don't even know those are the original person who did the gospel. The gospel was done basically mouth to mouth. That means if I take 20 people and I tell them, do a story that started with A, and let's see what happened in 20 to do with 20 people saying the story. You're going to not get the same story from the person who started the story to the end. And that's exactly what they did. Everybody was saying the story of Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. And it came all the way to the Greek who had to start writing it down. So wait up. We don't even know who was – nobody wrote what he did during that time. And they always come with Josephus, but Josephus is just
Josephus
a little
past. Josephus didn't. You know, another thing too, Stanley. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis and Deuteronomy and Exodus and Leviticus, and I can't think of the other one, those were written by the Yahwehs. Now, the other 35 books, so-called books, in the Old Testament were written by Greeks. Then the New Testament was written by Romans. And how do we know this? Well, you can go into Gondor, Ethiopia today, where the Better Israels are. They call themselves Better Israel, the House of Israel. They only use the first five books. They don't use the rest of that stuff, even today. And if you look at the history of how they got into Gondor, it is said that at that battle with the Assyrians, Taharqa, they came out of there and came, you know, like a dog get hit out in the street, what do? He runs home. Mm-hmm. Well, those people came back into what's now called Egypt. They came back into what's now called Aswan, or back then during those days it was called Swanee, and they stayed on an island right there on the Nile River called Bega Island. Taharqa permitted them to stay there, and then they trekked on back down into Ethiopia, into where they are today called Gondor. And they became who they are. And they only follow the first five books. They don't use the rest of that shit. They don't use it. The Greeks came along, and they added on with 34. Now you got 39 books in the Old Testament. It was Christians that called it Old Testament. Why would somebody that wrote it call it old?
Exactly. The Jew don't even recognize the Old Testament. When you go to a Jew and say, you know the New Testament, Old Testament, like, what are you talking about? They don't even recognize the New Testament.
The Old Testament, them first five books, existed about 300 years before what you call Judaism. It wasn't Judaism. It was spelled with an I, I-U. Then would come Christianity about another 400 years later. Then would come Islam. Now, get this, Stanley. If it hadn't been for that battle where the Assyrians were defeated, you would not have these other religions, because those other religions are based off of the first five books.
Wow.
They wouldn't even exist. You wouldn't have had Judaism. If there was no Judaism, then it wouldn't have been no Christianity. If it wasn't no Christianity, then it wouldn't have been no Islam.
Wow. No, it's
get
true. It's like I just ordered the book that you said I'm going to definitely read it, because I always question them. I'm like, wait a minute. If God is all powerful,
read that book and you come back. You get back with me and you.
Yeah, I'm going to write it down, and then they're going to say, "Oh, you don't know what you're saying."
That man had no business to be biased, because he was just concerned about his children. This is something he discovered.
Of course, you're concerned. If you're going to teach your children and anybody the truth with this, do you know your stories? They don't even know their stories. I'm sorry. They don't know the New Testament. They don't know how it happened. They don't know what you just said. They don't even know that basically there was a vote that was done by the Catholic who decided this book.
Oh, hell yeah.
I
tell you another book
Testament.
You want to get. Get one by Walter Williams called The Historical Origins of Christianity.
Oh, no. I read that. There's one by Bart Ehrman that talks about that. I read
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Walter Williams' book, The Historical Origins of Christianity. He does the best on the ecumenical council meetings where all this stuff was canonized. You know, when things are canonized,
exactly.
That means that they say this is going in, this is not going in.
And some
it was canonized
so crazy,
by the Romans.
They were like, we're not going to put this, that Jesus was basically killed some kids and decided to rescue them. There was some crazy story that was invented.
It was canonized by the Roman Catholic Church, not Rome. Because Rome itself did not exist until the 1800s, I think 1860-something maybe. Believe it or not. No, Italy did not exist until as Italy until like 1861. Then Rome itself would not come into existence for like another 10 years, 1870 or something. You was talking about a entity called the Holy Roman Catholic Church. It was its own entity. Matter of fact, that's why come King James wrote it wrote an English model of the King James Version of the Bible. He believed that England, the English church, needed its own Bible, not that what Rome was professing.
Imagine. And another thing that they don't even know in the history, when you tell them how did Christianity go all over the world, they don't even know it's because of the emperor. If it wasn't for that emperor of Rome that basically decided that we're going to follow the Jesus thing, the Christian thing that you're saying and everything, Christianity would have not flourished as much as it did. It just flourished.
No, it wouldn't.
He did it. And when you tell that, he said, no, it would have flourished on his own. No, it wouldn't. He decided to do that because he wanted to do a war and everything, and he decided to convert himself to become a Christian. And even had a symbol that he would go when he was facing his enemy. And his enemy
was
scared.
That was Constantine.
Constantine. His enemy was scared because he had that symbol. And he was being a Christian.
He said he seen that vision.
He saw the vision. Exactly. He saw a vision. And he had to change to become a Christian. And you're like,
Shakespeare King James used Shakespeare. Shakespeare is in Proverbs. You can see where he inserted his name. If you go to the 46th book of Proverbs and count down 46 words, you have his first part of his name, Shake. And you go to the end of that verse and count up 46 words, you see his last name, Spear, Shakespeare. It's his 46th birthday.
So when you go with all those things, they don't even know their story. They don't even know. They don't even go the documented shit. It's like, if I'm going to praise some God and everything, don't you think I need to know all the shit before I make sure that it's true? Don't you know that if I'm bringing history and you're bringing history and asking questions, they don't want to go get the answer. They don't want to, like, wait a minute.
I tell you another good book, too, Blacked Out Through Whitewash by Souza. Blacked Out Through Whitewash. She's an etymologist. That's a very good book also.
There's a very good book called Jesus Interrupted by Bart Edmond that basically took the four gospels, and he goes through everything in the four gospels and shows that one story in this. Yeah, he goes to the four gospels. Yeah, the gospel. He takes the four gospels and says, let's see if the stories are the same. Let's take story A,
they're not.
Story B. They're not the same. And he's like, one story
even the lineage of Jesus is not the same. You know what apocryphal means, don't you? It means books of uncertain authorship.
Yeah, exactly. We don't even know the author of the gospel. We don't know the author and everything. They decided to part that. I don't even know why they put those names. That's
Jesus stands on three things. He stands on the Annunciation. He stands on the Immaculate Conception. He stands on Immaculate Conception and birth, and it stands on his crucifixion and resurrection. If you pull out either one of those, then he falls down. He can't survive.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at one gospel saying that as soon as Jesus died, all the corpse of Jerusalem started walking. If you think that the corpse of Jerusalem would start walking, don't you think somebody would have wrote this? And said, oh, my God, in this date, during that time, corpses were walking. So basically you're saying there were undead walking in Jerusalem when Jesus died.
There's no history of his life between 12 and 30 or 33. I think it's 30. Yeah, it's 33. 12. The sun enters into any house, zodiac house, if you want to call it, at 12 degrees, and it exits at 33 degrees.
Wow. So many stories, so many things. I'm like,
those zodiac signs. If you get that book, Blacked Out Through Whitewash, it tells you what those zoomorphic signs, what we call houses, Virgo, Sagittarius, and so forth, what they was called before others changed their name. They were not called that. They have comedic. They had comedic designations to them.
Wow. No, there's too many things they don't even know. And
when people
say
they're astrologers, people say they're astrologers and they read your signs, are they true?
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't make sense. The four story doesn't make sense. There's a slavery that's put in. There's rape that's accepted in the Bible. There's many things that I'm like, does not make sense. The history doesn't make sense.
Look how David wanted the man's wife, so he put the man on the front line to get killed.
Yeah, or the story of the father that was basically after the remember when the father and the two daughters and his wife basically got out of Gomorrah or whatever, and because God told him to get out of that city, and one of the wife decided to Gomorrah, and the wife
turned
decided
head,
to turn herself,
stone.
And she became in stone. What happened to the father after that? The father went to a mountain with his two daughters, and the two daughters were bored to death, and they wanted to have some sexual thing. So they basically, both of them slept with their father.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, what?
And to dispel homosexuality, somebody came and the father offered the stranger his daughter.
Oh, yes, it's true.
He didn't offer the stranger his son.
Exactly. When people were coming to their cities and everything, they were offering to have their son to sleep with them, and the father said, no, don't keep my son. Take my virgin daughter, who's not been slept with anybody, and do whatever you want to do with her.
Right. So this shit about homosexuality, well, no. Here you got this case here. They want to offer the daughter, not no son.
Yeah, they all went to the daughter, and the daughter died because of that. I remember that. And then there was a couple stories that the father said, I want to win the war. And God said, if you want to win a war, fine, I'll make you win the war. But the only way you'll win the war is if you give the first person that comes out of your house. And the first person came out of the house, and it was his daughter. And the daughter was to be sacrificed for God. But before she being sacrificed, she went to the mountain to be on her own, and then she came back and she got sacrificed.
So it's a lot of stories. You know, the story about Ahmosis, when he was defeating the Hittites, he told his generals, in order to keep count, to cut off the left hand and bring them back. Well, when he looked at the pile of hands, it was right hands in it too. So he said, well, I know how we can solve this. Cut off the penis.
Wow.
Because they only got one penis.
Yeah.
Everyone you kill, cut off the penis and bring it back.
Yeah. Or was it Moses and his army when he went to a village, conquered that village and whatever, conquered that people, and then God said, kill everybody except the virgin kids, the virgin wives, and virgin daughters that you could keep as your own.
Yeah, and when Moses married, was that Moses who married the black woman? He was ridiculed about that?
Yeah.
So that goes to show you that interracial marriage was not the thing then.
I was like, what? I'm like, what God is saying kill everybody? Why is God telling me to kill everything?
Kill everything that piss on stone.
Kill everything, every innocent, even a kid, a baby that has nothing to do but
the
keep
animals.
Keep the virgin woman and keep the wife. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, why would God do that for? And jealous and do this and that. And God goes to Moses and says, kill half of the population of Jewish because you didn't follow my law and you didn't obey what I wanted to do. So I'm